Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
We were literally having a conversation about some notes I was taking down. And he was telling me, giving me directions on something. So I said, okay, you know, no problem, got it. And he's like, did you get this girl?
Robin Hankerson remembers this happening in a meeting with an older white male colleague. She's a director of media relations and communication.
I looked at him, I said, excuse me? I am not a girl. So, you know, using my gender at all in any way, shape, or form is not necessary in the conversation.
And that's where their conversation ended. She says she's been called girl so many times at work, she can't even count. She didn't tell her colleague. She thought what he said was also racist.
My brain automatically goes to this point of feeling like now you're back in this master mode. And as a black female, I'm now being put in a more submissive place.
During slavery and into the Jim Crow era, black adult men were referred to as boy and women girl.
Based on the messenger, based on who's delivering that girl, people don't understand all of the historical context that's attached to that.
Lutzi Segu is a gender and justice organizer in Miami.
This level of racism is so normalized. Everywhere I read about that Frank Artillery situation, girl was like the least interesting thing that people saw. So what do you do in a society where grown Black folks are seen as infantile?
There's another way the word girl gets used, in a way that some people think sounds cool or complimentary even. Hankerson, the media relations director, says sometimes a coworker who's not Black will pay her a compliment that sounds like this.
Girl, that outfit is amazing. Or girl, you working that today.
But when that same coworker is speaking to someone who isn't Black, the compliment sounds like this.
Wow, that's a really nice dress on you. I note it as offensive. And sometimes I have to walk around with a level of trying to understand that the intent may not be to offend, and that because we don't have honest conversations, we don't say anything, there's no means of correction, so to speak, or even just awareness.
When people change how they speak when they're talking to a Black person, that's what Nicole Buchanan says could be an example of a microaggression. Buchanan is a psychology professor at Michigan State University. And her research includes the experiences of being a Black woman in the workplace.
Microaggressions reflect implicit biases that are unconscious to the individuals that hold them.
Buchanan says being called girl in professional settings is usually a microaggression, and it's harmful.
When coping with microaggressions, people will often go through a number of iterations trying to calm themselves down, assume the person meant well, perhaps even deciding that they want to say something and then figuring out what they need to say. But this is at a high personal cost to the person who is trying to figure out the response.
Not too long ago, Lutzi Segu, the gender and justice organizer, attended a private fundraiser in Miami. She says she was the only Black person there. While in line waiting for food,
this man turns around and said, "Yeah, girl, 'cause you know, we ready to eat." To be the literal only Black person there and to be girled, and then it was pile on after finger snap, neck roll. And I even think of a ridiculous Beyonce reference was made. And it was just like, this is too much in one human interaction.
Segu says even though she trains employers and hosts workshops on inclusion and diversity, she still struggles with how to respond.
You freeze. Where would I even begin to tell you how that's so wrong? It's degrading.
I am a younger Black female. It's common for people like me to experience these things in the professional setting.
Georgia Williams is an attorney who specializes in trust and estate planning in Boca Raton. Williams is on the Diversity and Inclusion Committee for the South Palm Beach County Bar Association.
I am a big proponent of just having conversations. I think that topics on race and gender make people uncomfortable. When you use the term girlfriend or girl, it's just not necessary. I'd like to be called Georgia. That's my name.
L'Oreal R. Scott is an assistant city attorney and says she usually has a high threshold for being offended. She has a hierarchy of when she decides to respond. Sometimes she corrects it in the moment.
No, I'm sorry. That's Mrs. R. Scott. Mrs. R. Scott.
But not always.
Other times, if it's exhausting to fight that battle, I let it go.
Segu says when she hosts workshops for employers, it's difficult to get into these deeper conversations, like unpacking what it means to be called girl at work.
How do you bring that up in a diversity and inclusion training when people want you to cure racism in 3 to 4 hours?
And she says for her and other Black women who get called girl at work, it's a delicate balancing act.
It's also like a mental health thing. I cannot respond to every micro and macro aggression that I'm confronted with. I need a self to go home to. If I responded to every single one, there would be nothing to cross over the threshold of my home when I go. I would have nothing left.
On the surface, being called girl alone isn't the type of overt prejudice that could get someone fired or force a person to resign. When now former Florida Senator Frank Artilis resigned last month, he hinted at his use of the N-word by calling it the most inflammatory. Besides that, in cursing at his colleague, Senator Audrey Gibson, he also referred to her, a grown Black woman, as girl. According to the Miami Herald, Artilis said he meant no disrespect. Gibson called his apology meaningless. I'm Nadege Green in Miami.
Caught on video punching a River North security guard appears in court today. Eyewitness News reporter Michelle Gallardo live at 26th in California with this story for us. Michelle?
Rob, several of Matthew De Leon's relatives were in court to show their support for the 23-year-old today. We now know that he is a U.S. Army serviceman. His attorney tells us he was in Chicago visiting family before an upcoming deployment. A U.S. Army serviceman on his second tour of duty, due to be deployed to Hawaii. That's just part of what was revealed in court today about 23-year-old Matthew De Leon, the man shown in this surveillance video soccer punching a female security guard outside a River North condo building early Sunday morning.
He has seen the video. He's horrified by what he sees. And our concern right now is making things right for the victim, and that's what he plans to do.
The security guard, Zoe Stigler, could not be in court today because she is having surgery to repair a broken eye socket. She picked De Leon out of a photo lineup Tuesday after he turned himself in.
Zoe has been an incredibly brave lady, and we wish that she didn't have to go through this, but we're happy that the parties responsible have been apprehended, and we hope they are prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
During today's bond hearing, prosecutors revealed that De Leon, who was drunk when he punched Stigler, has a DUI conviction from 2010. They also said the three people depicted casually walking away with him are De Leon's wife, sister-in-law, and his sister-in-law's boyfriend. De Leon's attorney tells us that he expects him to remain in custody until Tuesday, which is the date of his next hearing. He's being held on a $250,000 bond. Live at the Cook County Criminal Courthouse, I'm Michelle Gallardo, ABC 7 Eyewitness News. Back to you in the studio.
Okay, Michelle, thank you.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Thursday, May 18th. 2017, so I have been told. This is our weekly broadcast on workplace racism. If you have commentary, if we have Black entrepreneurs, if you are self-employed, if you have figured out whatever works well so that you can remain employed, get maximum compensation, benefits, best office or workstation all the perks that you can possibly amass and work there until, you know, whenever you're ready to call it quits and retire and, you know, go plant cucumbers or whatever you intend to do with your spare time. You should be one of the first to dial in because we need effective counter-racist codification. Anybody, you figured out strategies that help you eliminate some of the problems with other non-white coworkers, white coworkers. Just make sure you keep down strife on the job. If you figure something out that works, dial in and let us know. Certainly if you're having difficulties, problems on the job and you just want to get feedback, suggestions, dial in the number 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press *6 if you would like to participate. Again, this is not our broadcast for spectators. You do not wait for Thursdays to dial in and say, well, you know, or listen in. Hey, let's hear what the black people are talking about, what trouble they're having on the job this week. That's not what this is for. Dr. Welsing regularly talked about the importance of black people talking about what's happening to us on the job. She didn't think, and I agree with her, she didn't think it was possible to get 10, even 5 black people together. Where at least 4 out of those 5 aren't having some significant issues with racism on their job in some way, shape, form. And I think it's probably 5 out of 5. So dial in, let us know. And if you dialed in before and discussed an issue, follow up. That's always helpful to kind of get to hear if you use some of the suggestions or came up with some strategies on your own. One thing I did want to get, or I guess a couple things that I did want to get in quickly about the sound clips that we heard. The segment that was talking about black females being called girl on the job in a workplace context. Number one, we just talked about that last week, I believe, on Thursday's Workplace Racism. We were talking about the broader context of being on the job and some white person coming in, and now they want to show all of the Negro slang that they have accumulated. And exactly what they said right there, it'll be, girl, you are working that outfit, when if it's a black person. Then a white person comes up, oh, Helen, you look beautiful today, or you look lovely. That outfit is stunning. It'll be totally different. It'll be the same sort of thing. And in that segment, they kept referring to that as ignorance. You know, do I want to invest the effort to stop and teach them why this is racist, to teach them why this is wrong? Unaware, the same stereotypical way that, you know, we are encouraged to think about this, as opposed to, no, these are deliberate acts of racism. White people have a pattern of this tacky behavior, and that's the way that we should look at this. It's something that is real. Exactly as they said in the audio clip, it's not something that you're probably not going to get fired. You're probably not going to get written up, even in the most quote unquote PC work environment. At most, it'll be, you know, oh, well, maybe that was something that, you know, some of our employees are a little sensitive. If you could be a little bit more thoughtful, considerate with your remarks in the future, that's, you know, maximum that's going to happen. So it's, in my view, it's just a really slick way that they can be racist. This is how I think of you niggers. This is how all of you talk. This is how you talk. I'm just going to mock you with some of my racist projections in the workplace. I think of it in that way. Again, everybody can have their own code about how to respond. I think it's most important to recognize that this sort of thing is very, very common, and it's likely to happen to you if it has not already. So already have in mind, just based on your personality, the way that you function, what your demeanor is, which your comfortable response would be to say something, to say nothing at all. I submit that a lot of times these type of things, you don't have to say anything. Exactly as they said, you will invest a lot of time and energy if you try to respond to all of these. I think Mr. Fuller has said, and it's been my observation sometimes, when you don't say anything, that can stop a lot of that behavior. When you're not laughing, when you're not upset, you just move on about your day. What is it someone used to say? Birds chirp, dogs bark, white people practice racism. When you have that way of thinking and you're not outraged and, oh, I got to make a speed dial Al Sharpton to come in here and have a, you're not on any of that. You're just moving about your day, getting work done. I've seen that consistently myself, that they will stop doing that, because I've stated a lot of times they do these sort of things just to upset us and to have us stressed out. I think used the term microaggression in there as well. I just encourage people not to use that term moving forward. That second audio segment that discussed the incident of white terrorism in Chicago with this race soldier who is a trained killer, someone who was in the armed services, where he assaulted a black security officer. The first time that I saw it, I thought this was just general white terrorism. We've seen these sort of incidents before, something out on the street. And then I thought about it, and I think I might have even been helped along by one of our more intelligent listeners. They said, that's workplace racism. And after I took a second to think about it, I said, absolutely, that is workplace racism, because she was doing her job trying to get, you know, these intoxicated, loitering whites to move along, you know, stop straggling in front of the property. And this is how this race soldier responds. Again, the danger, I think, again, someone says consistently, white people and alcohol, one of the most dangerous combinations in the known universe. And specifically to that, anybody who has a job where you know it's likely that you're going to have to deal with intoxicated white people. We've had, I think, Emmy has dialed in and shared some of this. People, if you work at a front desk situation or just any sort of scenario, anything that deals with public transportation, I think that would be likely. I have worked in a club before, if anybody works in that setting, or if you're a bartender or anything like that. Anything where it's likely that you might have to come in contact with intoxicated patrons, intoxicated whites especially, but intoxicated patrons, that requires a very serious code in terms of how you're going to function, because that's something, it can get life-threatening in like 5 seconds. That incident that you heard the sound clip of, all of that took about 5 seconds from literally from her seeing this collection of folks in front, let me go ask them to move along, to her saying that him first he assaulted her with a bottle of water, and then he struck her in the face, hit her as hard as he could with his fist, trained killer. Having that in mind on your job, you're going to need to have a well thought out code, anything, because I mean, it could get dangerous super fast. And I would even ask your employer, unless you're self-employed, I would ask your employer, do they have a policy in terms of how we supposed to deal? How do we respond if someone is intoxicated? Because some people, their policy is you don't deal with them at all. If you can see that the person, or you can ascertain that they're intoxicated, no service. That's the policy some people have. I would inquire about that if you deal with that sort of thing on your job. And just, man, that's, you could be dealing with that sort of situation at any time. All of us should kind of have that in mind. That seems something, because I do know black people. We even read about one, Mr. Richard Williams. He was self-employed and he had a security business, and he talked about some of the dangers and problems that were presented and all of that. So that should definitely be something to keep in mind. If you're a black person, it seems like there could be more of this sort of behavior. So really be mindful about the physical danger you could be in under the system of white supremacy. Folks can always email. If you do not want to call, the email untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. If you want to share, if you have commentary, suggestions, if you are unable to dial in, and or if you have concerns. I know some people said they feel like their voice is recognizable, so you can keep your anonymity and still comment. untiljustice@gmail.com. I will check repeatedly as we broadcast live. Some of the folks already wrote in. A person wanted to say, I would like to start by saying this program has helped me tremendously. I was very angry and felt defeated before listening to Workplace Racism. I understand things a lot more clearly, and even though I still get angry, I can harness it a bit better. Very, very important. That's why I said a lot of this, when they make those comments, girl, you look, it's to get us angry, it's to get us frustrated, it's to get us upset. That is a lot of how this works. It has a huge, huge impact on our mental health, well-being, and even our will, ability, having the energy to go out and try and solve this problem and do great things in the world. So absolutely, very, very important. I think as you get better at counter-racism, I think a part of that will reduce some of your frustration and anger with racism. It won't totally eliminate it because we should be angry, but it should, I think, greatly help one mitigate being angry and frustrated. Continuing. My solution is every non-white person should take a human resources management course. Just that one course has helped me tremendously. I see the steps employers must go through to fire someone legally. Also, there are things an employer cannot say to you by law. Because of this class, I have been on code without knowing it to a certain extent. Thirdly, I will give you two situations that happened to me. I work in corporate. I used to work in OH. I'm not sure what OH is. Maybe someone can help me with the acronyms. I am a victim. That is one thing I can tell you both from my professional writing and from counter-racism. That's something that I have seen when people write about counter-racism. There is a tendency to use acronyms without them being explained. I think the most helpful pattern is to spell it out one time just to make sure that everybody understands, everybody is clear about what's being said, and then from then on out you can use the acronym. That's what I try to employ because I am still learning and I'm pretty ignorant. So whatever OH is, I used to work in, maybe that's Ohio. Take it for the location. I used to work in Ohio. People in the management would always comment that I sounded like I came from Alabama. Yeah. I have only been to that state once in my life, or they would ask me, where did I come from? I had been in the same state my whole life. In meetings, when the group was asked, are there any suggestions or questions, I would ask or give a suggestion and was not acknowledged. Someone else would ask the question or give the suggestion and it would be answered, or they would say, what a great suggestion it was. It got to the point where I developed a stuttering problem. Whenever I was asked a direct question, my mind would go blank. I could not think. My solution was to give my question, suggestion, to a white person on my team. I have since transferred out of that office. That also is very common, not the point where there ends up being some sort of speech impediment as a result of this racist attack, but in terms of black people having suggestions, questions, submitting something that would be an improvement for the corporation, and it gets ignored or attributed to another white person, or a white person waits for you to finish, and then they repeat exactly what you said, and they have a parade and a celebration, and you know, confetti falls from the sky. That's the best thing. Yes, we have heard that about 8 billion times. That's another one that people should not be surprised about at all. And I think once you understand that, you can have strategies for how you want to address that. And some people have even brought that up specifically in meetings where that sort of thing has been happening and just asked, why do you think that is? And that seemed to help also. Continuing, my last workplace racism is a white coworker's dog had to be put to sleep. My manager told everyone and mentioned that she told her to take as much time as she needed off. This was her first dog, and she was sad about it. 1 month later, my uncle passed away, and I had to go back to Ohio for the funeral. I live in one of the southern states and noticed earlier than expected, and had to leave earlier than expected. The handbook gives 5 days for out-of-state funerals. She told me how disappointed she was and that if I must go, then there was nothing she could do about it, but she wished I could give her more time. I left as I reminded her the handbook doesn't give a date or time that one has to give when a loved one has passed. That is all for today. I feel like I could write a book. I will email as I'm afraid I will stutter, but only with solutions. Thank you. Have learned a lot. Really, really important. That's why I put it in every description. I make an effort to put it in every, when I post that the program is going to happen live on Facebook or wherever, I try to include, we will review policy and procedure, and I encourage folks, review that policy and procedure before there is an issue. My condolences to the reader for the loss in your family. But you do not want to have an uncle or anyone, or even animal lovers. If you have a pet that passes, you do not want to be in trauma at that moment and then for the first time having to be going in the handbook and trying to figure out, you know, what the procedure is, what you can do, what you can't do. And am I going to have to wrangle with these white people? I think it will behoove you if you can know all of that up front. Forgetting is natural. I forget things all the time. You are in a much stronger position if you've reviewed the whole policy, you've seen, you've read, you've processed the information about sick leave, salary arbitration, funeral leave. You've already processed that information. You know what it is. Even if you forget some of the details, it puts you in a much better position to just go back and do a quick refresher. Oh, okay, yes, this is what it is. You get this many days. Boom, boom, boom. Right down the line. Oh my gosh, I wish I had been doing that from day one. As soon as I started working, that is fantastic because that puts you in a position where you can be on the offensive, the first white person that acts like they want to say something or have a problem or interview. Bam, you can have your handbook right there, or you can just have your question ready. When you go to take your leave of absence, sick leave, vacation leave, whatever it is, you already looked at the policy. Bam, well, I thought on page 54 of such and such and such and such, we're allowed, you know, 5 days and there's no notice. Is that policy incorrect? Always a fan of staying in the question lane and just see what they say. But phenomenal. And I mean, that right there, that sort of flagrant disrespect, them having more value for the white person's canine than your relative, a human being that passed away. Flagrant. That's not ignorance. That's not white people being unaware. That's not them needing an education. That's not a microaggression. That is birds chirping, dogs barking, white people practicing white supremacy. That's what it is. And they're very, very aware. Yes, Lassie, Ren 10 10, Scooby-Doo, all of them are worth more than 8 billion niggers. Yes. And Coretta Scott King. Autobiography will be tomorrow. Folks that dialed in, if you have commentary you would like to share, if you have a question about anything that you heard, or if you want to just share your own situation, the number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press *6 if you would like to participate. Folks who dialed in with a hand up, line should be open. Feel free to participate.
Can I be heard?
You are a little low. If you could speak up, that would be grand.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
All right, appreciate it. Hey, guys, 2812 from Virginia. I'll be quick. I'm a little under the weather, but I took the advice from last week. Just a quick recap, had another non-white male that's a broker in my office, and some white people were a little chatty and disappointed about him having somebody else have an outside source that was related to him teach a class, and I was debating on whether or not I should tell him. 2 days ago, got to the office, talked to him, pulled him to the side, went out of the hallway, went outside and let him know specifically, like, hey, you know, I just wanted to make you aware that they are watching you and they are very aware. They are not happy of what's going on. And also another one of the managers had mentioned that they don't see the office is growing. And that is the same manager with they don't see their office growing with you. And I said, that's the same manager that just fired a white woman that I work with. So don't think that they don't have power. He was just looking at me and he really couldn't believe it. And it was just funny because as he was just staring at me, I just looked at him and said, all I can tell you is that when white people are not happy, they will figure out a way to change it. And he was like, you're right about that. And just at that moment, it all kind of clicked for him. He said, I got to take things a little bit more seriously and watch what I'm doing. And I said, exactly. He thanked me. He said he's going to look out and make sure that there's nothing going on negative with anybody else, not white people in the office. And that was a good thing. I'm glad it all worked out. I think Emmy's approach was really good and direct because I did have a rapport with him. And so it was just a really easy conversation. And we talked about racism, like, briefly still a little confused as I was, but I think now we're at least we can have a common ground to where we can talk about that. Another just an observation I made, I was in a barbershop today getting my hair cut, and a couple guys come in there, they do what they would call landscaping or tree work, and I was asking about compensation, because I was dealing with a client, and I'm thinking, these tree guys really make a lot of money. And so the guy started talking to me about tree work and compensation, and then he got on the topic of drugs. And he was like, well, you got to watch out, because a lot of these tree guys, you know, they climb these trees, and they are meth heads, and they're, you know, they're high on heroin. And obviously, I know that there's a big problem, but I don't do drugs. And I didn't know, and I don't notice it, and I was just asking him. I said, well, let me ask you a question. How many of these guys are high? And he was like, man, every morning, depending on where you are, he said, you'll have guys before they even start climbing or doing anything in landscaping, he said, they're taking heroin. And he said, the majority of them are white. So when Gus is talking about sobriety is best, that just reminded me of that. And then one other thing is right down the road from me, if anybody's paying attention on CNN in the area of Virginia where I'm at, or any news station, there was a huge protest by white people holding up torches in a park where they took down a Civil War memorial, one of those white supremacist statues or whatever that people get mad about, but they took it down. And that particular protest was led by Mr. Richard Spencer, and he actually, and another one of his white supremacist buddies, actually were able to get another black male that was doing a lot of constructive work in that area. He had to resign from a position at his school. So my whole thing in mentioning all that is that take white people seriously. When they want to remove you from a job, or if they're not happy about doing things, just take them very, very seriously. They were, I don't know how many people it was, but it looked like a KKK rally just without the mask. And these are the same people that more than likely pressured this guy to quit his job, and are probably going to start pressuring more non-white people to get in trouble. So just take this program and take this call seriously, and I hope what I said was constructive. Thanks, Doug.
Wow.
May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry if you had something you were going to say.
Just to echo that, wow, Richard Spencer is an alumnus at the University of Virginia. I had no idea. Both of us, fellow UVA alums, incredible. But I was just going to say, echo, take white people seriously. I think that was said twice. Thank you. Appreciate it to the male caller who just shared with us. But I think that was shared twice. Take white people seriously, especially if you're on the job. My apologies, female caller in Ohio. Proceed.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and thank you for taking my call. I guess I shouldn't be too surprised about the email that you just read. That was actually the reason why I was calling in, because I'm definitely going through the same thing, except for what they have at my job is they will ask, like, they'll actually hear your suggestion, or they will hear your question, but they will answer questions all around it. So let's say if, I just giving out an example, if they're going to change how they're going to do scheduling, and let's say if I were to ask, well, how many hours do we absolutely have to work to get a lunch break? And they might answer, well, you know, you want to work enough hours to be able to get a sufficient amount of work done. They will literally answer every question around my question except for what I've actually said. And then also, like I have mentioned before, I feel like they're suspected white supremacists at my job. My supervisor and his supervisor, they always seem to comment about how much I know, and I always keep redirecting them, like, no, I'm just paying attention to the procedures. Or they will say, oh, well, this is a really great question, and not answer the question still. So I definitely feel like I'm being patronized. That's one thing. And to actually speak about what the male caller just said about the whole tree climbing, people who do the whole tree trimming, what have you, I had another job where I was, a past job where I was working as a nurse aide, and there was this white patient, and he wasn't like a really old person, like as you would typically think of in like these long-term facilities. He was like middle-aged, and he had said that he used to climb trees, and he had fell off a tree, and that's why he was in the nursing home. And one day I was transferring him into the bed, and he stuck his tongue in my ear, so I was extremely upset. But the job there just basically whatever abuse that you were going through is basically like, you know, it's just what just happens on the job. So that wasn't even some of the worst things I went through being a nurse's aide. But my issue is just going back to my current job. I just feel like I kind of was not as codified as what I've been trying to be, and I did allow myself to get upset when I felt like my question wasn't being answered correctly, or I'm sorry, not even correctly, but wasn't being answered at all, and someone else would bring up a question that was very similar to mine, and there's basically an equal amount of non-white people and white people in my same area. So I kind of got upset, and I was talking over my supervisor like, no, you didn't answer the question, but I did say it in the sense of maybe I did not speak clearly, or maybe I did not frame it clearly enough, and it still was like, well, we just have to give us some more time to basically think about it. So I'm still trying to figure out what I should do. That's all I have. Thank you.
That is that's another very common problem that I think a lot of black people, even, you know, outside the workplace, experience this, where white people just don't answer our questions. They are extraordinary at willfully concealing constructive information from black people. I think in the workplace, I think one of the strategies that people often recommend on this broadcast, and I do as well, when you have that sort of thing where you're seeing consistently, you ask a question and they will just talk to you for 5 minutes about nothing and not answer it, or, oh, wow, that's really a great question. Well, how to think about that? And then they never give you any information. Doing the email, where you can start generating an electronic record that you're asking questions, you're asking for information to help get your job done, and they're not supplying you with that information. And then you can show how long this has been going on as well, to be able to, hey, I started asking in March, it's almost June, and I'm still without the information. Am I supposed to do my job missing critical information for 2 months, 3 months, 3 weeks, whatever it is? But many folks over a period of time have said that works pretty well. If you can kind of document it via email, that they're not answering your question, that can put you in a better position. I don't know if that's something that's feasible for you. I don't know if you work on a job where you all have email correspondence with your coworkers. I guess, do you all have email correspondence? Is that something that could be feasible for your situation, or no?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that was quite a question. Yes, I do communicate with email, and then also we have like this instant message type of thing. So I do try to make sure, especially if I feel like they're telling me something that doesn't quite seem right, I will keep a record of that. But then, like in the past with a previous supervisor who was doing the same thing, it's like they are extremely reluctant to remove these people from these positions. So, but I do appreciate that suggestion.
Mm. Oh, yeah. White people, they do not get fired regardless of what the transgression is. Even a lot of times it can be all kinds of financial indiscretion, out and out incompetence, defiance, stealing, embezzling. White people do not get fired. They get transferred. They didn't even convict that white female who killed Terrence Crutcher. They haven't even fired her. They said they're trying to see what her future with the Oklahoma Police Department is going to be moving forward. Even she hasn't been fired. But yeah, it's, I don't view any of these possible counter-racist steps. I don't view them as things that will get the white person fired or even get them like a you know, stern talking to. I just view it as hopefully these are things that will help minimize some of the mistreatment. I guess in your situation, either it will help them get you the information, seeing these, you know, electronic record of you asking questions and them not being answered and following up consistently that these questions aren't being answered, or at minimum, it will keep it from being a problem for you, so that they don't try to come at you and hold you liable and say, you know, this is a performance problem and maybe we need to, you know, look at whether you're going to keep working for us. Well, you can say, hey, you know, I've been having a problem with information. I've been asking whoever it is, Diane, whoever the person is, and she's not giving me the information, if that makes sense. Other folks that are with us, if you all have commentary on what you've heard thus far, if you have your own situation that you would like to share, feel free. Definitely, if we got folks who have suggestions on how to deal with white people not answering your question, because it seems like a lot of us have had to deal with that one. So if we got people who have input on that, that's always appreciated as well. Also, if folks have folks on a job, do you have a code for how you go about asking for an increase in compensation? They would commonly call it a raise, but do folks have a code about how to go about doing that? Because I do see that white people tend to share a lot of constructive information amongst each other about the best way to go about asking for increased compensation, but they tend to hide that sort of information from non-white people. So just seeing if folks have a code about that as well. Folks, other folks who dialed in with a hand up that we've not heard from, if you have commentary or questions you would like to ask, feel free.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Greetings to you, the host, the callers, and the listeners. I wanted to respond to, I wanted to give my own workplace racism example and also respond to one of the comments that were made about information not being readily available or not really knowing where the information is, or you're asking questions to these white people and they're not giving you answers. I had something similar just recently. Again, I do real estate brokerage, and I had a client who a month ago got out of a contract. So, I mean, clearly got out of the contract, the finances, or the whoever the financing company wrote a letter and everything, and we're out of the contract. However, the other broker, the selling broker, is also the owner of the house, owner of the property that my client was purchasing. Now, he will not release the earnest money, and I've been trying to go through arbitration, mediation and arbitration, which just means that instead of going to court, I do the same process of trying to get the money back doing a suit. I don't do it through the courts, but I have to do it through this particular special body within the real estate commission, or part of the real estate board, or something along those lines. Anyway, the information was incredibly difficult to come across. I just got the email either late last night or today, giving me the information of how I can go about arbitration. Anyway, and I've been asking. I've asked the real estate commission. I've asked the board of realtors, and I've asked several people within the board and in the commission. I've been asking, you know, and they won't give me the information. They wouldn't give me the information. They just kept directing me to another person, and send the email to this person, call this person. And I've called people, I've sent the emails, and it's just now, I keep sending emails to several different people, it's just now that they're getting back with me with six different documents of information. They sent the email with six different attachments. So, in other words, the information was available. The people I asked, I'm sure they knew how to come across it, where the information was, but none of them would give me the answer. And I know how to ask a question that's direct. So it wasn't like they didn't understand my question, you know. So I think they call it asymmetrical information. I could be incorrect with that terminology, But I remember when I first started real estate, or when I first started real estate brokerage, they were talking about information. The way that they do it is they'll have all the information that you could need to accomplish most any task. But it's just they have it spread across all these different websites to where you couldn't possibly find it. You know, you would have to have a team to find this information, or you would have to have a white person willing enough to give you the information. So, I mean, again, the information will be available, and what they'll do is say, okay, the information is available on the web, so you should have had knowledge of this. So, you know, you should know what the rules are because it's available. But it's spread across so many different websites. It's spread across so many different documents. How in the world do you find it? And so that's a problem that I've been having. I just kept sending emails. I sent emails to everyone they told me to send the email to. I kept calling, and I finally got the information, and now we'll continue with the arbitration. But what I was wanting to call in about was actually about a music gig that I've been doing. And I said something about it, I think last week, and it was just this white female who's a part of the band, one of the bands that I'm playing with. She's a part of the band, and she's a lead singer. She got one of the black men fired because he walked in front of her while she was singing. Well, this same person has been telling lies on me to the black band director, the person who put the band together is a black woman. And this white female has been telling the black woman, who's the band director, that I've been going into unauthorized areas in certain venues that we go to, you know, that there's certain areas that are unauthorized. She says, I go to those areas, and I hadn't been in those areas. And I, especially not the time that she had mentioned. And so I, you know, now I'm dealing with those consequences of this woman lying on me. And so what I ended up doing is she told a couple other lies. She my girlfriend had come to one of the events, and she was talking to my girlfriend, telling my girlfriend that I've been trying to sleep with different women at these venues, which, you know, whether I have or haven't been isn't her business. I actually haven't been doing it, not at these venues and not really anywhere. But my point is, you know, she's causing trouble in my relationship. Just by saying something to the girl that she knows that I'm with, the woman that she knows that I'm with, and lying to the band director. And it's and so what I decided was I'm not going to deal with the group. I can't get that close to white people. It used to be that, you know, playing music, that would be the time, you know, the time that white people are the nicest to me, you know. But yeah, I've decided that I'm not going to be a part of that, and I'm going to try to get her fired, because we're at war. She needs consequences, but more so, we're at war, and she's trying to kill me, just like the rest of the white people. And I'm going to do everything in my power to get her fired, if possible. And the last thing is, I've decided that I'm going to carry guns wherever I'm going, and so I went ahead and took my concealed carry class. So that I can carry guns in my workplace, because if any white people get out of hand or pull out a gun and directly threaten my life, I am ready and I will gladly take care of it. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm ready to end this situation completely. And I wanted to ask a question, maybe later on or maybe Saturday, just about the policy as far as on this show. Well, I guess I'll ask it now. So I was wondering, Mr. Guest, like, what's the policy on inviting people to the show, or inviting black people to hear the show, whether live or, well, let's say live, because I can invite them, you know, I can just send the show out to people. But I'm wondering what the policy is. And the reason I'm wondering is because I don't want anybody to have any implications, any consequences of me giving them this information and other people seeing that I've given them this information. I'm just wondering, is there a safe way to go about this? What are your suggestions, if any?
I generally tell people, you know, with anything that you're sharing, if it's written, verbal, whatever it is, I guess archive, podcast or whatever, to just assume that that information is going to go out to everybody. If you're not comfortable with everybody in the world, being aware that you are the one that sent this information or recommended that the person check out this information, and what, because they might, you know, run around and say, we'll just say Bob gave me this, gave me this nutty podcast called The Cows. He gave it to me on May 18th, 2017 at such and such a time. And, you know, because that could happen. So I don't generally give people like a policy. I don't have like a policy or a set guideline. I just tell people to share the broadcast if you think it's constructive with other non-white people, victims of white supremacy. So, you know, whatever means you want to share, whatever means you want to invite, if it's live, to give them the number where they can call in or, I guess, listen online, maybe on a computer or whatever it is, on their phone. No problem. I guess the only bit that I would add would be maybe if they are, if you know that the person, they're new to information on counter racism and talking about racism, white supremacy, to maybe have them listen. One thing that I have seen sometimes is that people that are new to the information, they will want to talk and sometimes to refute a lot of the concepts that they're hearing because it's so foreign to what they're accustomed to. That's about the only suggestion or anything close to a policy that I have would be maybe to just have them listen as opposed to calling to refute or get upset if they are bothered by some of the things that they're hearing that might just be new information or a new way of thinking about the concept of racism. Other folks who dialed in who have commentary, if we have not heard from you at all, feel free, dial in. If you have questions about what you've heard thus far or if you just want to share your own situation, feel free.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings, Gus. This is Jay out of New York. Greetings to the callers and listeners as well. Just wanted to kind of chime in. I think I had mentioned in the past on one of the Thursday calls, I'm an entrepreneur, probably going on about two decades of doing within my business. I'll kind of keep it disclosed because it's very easy to kind of pick it out. So in my business, we have a lot of highs and lows in terms of sales. Periods throughout the year. So what I used to do, and as a non-white, I'm 100% owner of the company. It's a small corporation. So I try to go out and get loans every once in a while, just kind of balance things out like any business. But as we've talked about, and I heard about on many of the shows that I've listened to, some of the ways that they try to keep loans out of our hands. I've experienced it over and over again. The loans that I've seen come my way are what I would call predatory loans, where they'll extend a great deal of money to me, but it'll all be short term. Well, they'll be telling me that they'll give me this amount of money, but they'll be looking to pull the money out of our account every week, biweekly, but they'll not give me kind of like what I would call kind of a straight term loan where, okay, you have this amount of money and in 6 months or a year, this is what we're expecting back with this amount of interest in it. So I've stayed away for the most part from those predatory loans. I took one out probably about 3 years ago, and it was a horrible experience because it just caused more trouble. You know, when you're kind of in a period where there's not a lot of influx of cash coming in, and now you have another, you know, entity that's pulling cash out of your account each week and they're auto debiting it, it's a real hassle. So I will really warn anyone who would potentially go into entrepreneurship if they are extending you these loans, because they traditionally try and extend these loans to you right away. And they do look great because the numbers look good and you think that you can probably get away with getting it in and get the money back, but it usually doesn't turn out right, which it hadn't for me. So with that, what I've done over the years is I've actually gone back and I've done like consulting in corporate. So I've gone back and did like short-term contracts for 3 months, 6 months to kind of balance some of the funds. What I've been realizing over the last few months, and this is where technology and racism, white supremacy, I think is starting to actually kind of refine itself with areas like LinkedIn, a lot of the places where I used to be able to kind of go in, send my resume, you know, they would call, we'd have our on, you know, our phone interview, probably do a quick face-to-face interview if needed, and we'd be all set and ready to go. They'd bring me on board where we're ready to go. Now I'm seeing that they're doing a lot of this viewing my profile on LinkedIn, which they're requiring that there's a photo up there, viewing my profile on LinkedIn, and I'm seeing that they're viewing it because I have kind of like special access in LinkedIn. I pay for like a premium access, so I'm able to see what companies and what individuals are looking at my profile. And I'm seeing that a lot of these positions that I'm applying for, they're looking at my profile. They're, you know, they're excited about the background. Then they go look at the profile and then I don't hear anything back. So I'm doing kind of a little bit of kind of racist, you know, investigation in that. I've been doing this for many years. And it traditionally, if I put my information out, I'd be able to get a contract within 2 to 3 weeks. Now I'm finding it's more like 2 to 3 months. But just kind of mentioning that for folks who may be in that contract world and having to battle with putting their photo out on LinkedIn and different profile areas. One of the other things that I wanted to mention in reference to, I think one of the clips that you played earlier about the girl commentary, there was, I take a class, it's a martial arts class, and there was a professor that stepped in for the non-white, non-black, Asian, so-called Asian professor that I traditionally have. One of the commentaries that I was doing some of my drills, the new professor said, "Atta boy." When he first said it, I was kind of thrown off a little bit, thought he probably wasn't talking to me. I kept doing the drill. Then he said, "Yes, atta boy, atta boy." And to your point earlier in the conversation, I said to myself, do I stop everything that I'm doing and approach him right now? Because probably before I became less confused, I probably would have just kind of let it go because I played sports and the coaches used that terminology all the time. But now that I'm a little less confused, I realized that it was a direct commentary because he wasn't using that with anybody else in the class, and I'm probably one of the only non-white males in the class. So just wanted to kind of mention, no matter where it is, it's just interesting when those things happen. I did take the opportunity after class to just kind of pull him to the side and say, you know, I just prefer to be, you know, referenced to by my name. And he was like, oh, I didn't, you know, I didn't even notice that I was saying it. But again, I realize that's all part of the refinement, but just wanted to make mention of that. I'll mute my line.
Thank you kindly for sharing. See, and that's why I said when you can get to that point where you're not upset, you're not angry, you're not surprised. I think you said it, you were kind of taken aback at first, but then your counter-racism training kind of kicked in. Oh, yes, yes, that white people doing what they're supposed to do. Yes, I will address this at a later time. Great. Great, grand. All of that is just phooey, in my opinion. Him saying, "Oh, I didn't even know. I wasn't even thinking about that." What's it? Whatever. He's probably got about 8 billion nigger jokes and probably calling you nigger every 5 seconds in his head during the class. So, whatever. That's just standard operating procedure in terms of what they say. Other folks that we have not heard from, and we got some great. Information as well for folks that are, as they call it, self-employed, where the racism, white supremacy is still going to be a problem, certainly with the finances. They had a big article in the Seattle Times talking about how they have lots of white entrepreneurs here, and they have lots of Asian entrepreneurs here, large Asian population, larger than the black population, but a very small, disproportionately small population of black entrepreneurs, and they were getting into the details of why that is. And of course, racism was like on the first two paragraphs, but they said that the white people, Asian people, they get access to credit and finances from banking institutions that are not given to Black people, even when they have the same credit, same financial portfolio, they still are not given. The Black people are still not given access to the same types of business loans and what have you that would help there be more Black entrepreneurs in Seattle. And that's just standard racist operating procedure worldwide. Other folks that we've not heard from have commentary they wanted to share.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings, everyone. Workplace racism, I'm going to request that everybody listen to it and give me some suggestions for the problem. I have an associate. This person has been law enforcement officer. And they work in a office. The employee in question that is the problem is a non-enforcement person, quote unquote. Typically, it's called a quote unquote civilian. And this employee, to all of the authority figures, is a problem. I was told that the job itself is trying to terminate her. This is a white female that one of her languages is Spanish. And the officer is actually is her supervisor of the problem employee, the problem white employee. It was suggested that this quote unquote civilian employee have a choice to move somewhere else. She refused to move somewhere else. Let me tell you some of the problems that the associate of mine have been having with her. Other than being called a nigger, and she got this information from a third party person, non-white Black person. Other negative comments that she's gotten from what she said was reliable sources. So she actually wants to leave, but for some reason, she is not being granted the opportunity to transfer out of that particular office. What even makes the situation even more complicated is the director of the Miami-Dade County School Resource Department is a Black person, non-white Black person, and her immediate supervisor is a non-white Black person that is not acquiescing and or granting her the opportunity to transfer. What I told her to do is to go over her policy on transferring. And I'm open for any other suggestions that may give not so much a solution to the employee, but a solution to her getting to be able to move out of the area, out of that office. That's all.
That is rough. And so the Black female, her direct supervisor that I guess has some say-so about whether or not she's allowed to transfer is a Black female that's not allowing her to transfer at this point?
That is correct. And I'm not sure on what type of relationship that this non-white black female has with the problem white female. They do, from my understanding, she told me they do communicate with one another. So I am logically guessing that the non-white black female supervisor has more of a plus relationship with this white female than negative. Hmm.
Well, I think, number one, I think you did great with telling her to revisit the policy and procedure manual on what outlines, what guidelines they have about being able to transfer. It sounds like similar to Stacey. Stacey in the UK, she's not with us this evening, but she's been talking about, I guess, for months now. Yeah, for months now she's been with us, where this situation with a white person, she had a white man who was accusing her of doing something, being rude or nasty with him or what have you. And he wouldn't make a formal accusation against her, but somehow it ended up going to his non-white supervisor, who happened to be a black female. And so then they ended up, you know, having to have all these meetings about, you know, her performance and whether or not Stacey was, you know, behaving as she should on the job. But just whites are really, really good where it'll be a white person who is at the center, who instigated everything, but somehow it'll get moved to where it's now you and another black person have an issue, or somehow they are in this situation where it started off with some racist. I would say review the policy, see what, you know, what grounds does she have for requesting this transfer. I think we talked about this before. Sometimes they can be very difficult, racists. They can be very difficult about those for non-white people because they have a lot of discretion. So they might have to say that you have to give us a really good reason. It can't just be that you don't get along with the people at the firehouse or, you know, you don't like one particular employee, or you all don't have the best relationship. Like, sometimes they'll be really, really difficult about allowing non-white people to move. So I would be really, really careful in rereading what the policy says and then trying to apply it to her situation in terms of, because sometimes it can just come down to having the best verbiage in terms of how you frame why it is that you want the transfer. And I'd also see, does it have a procedure? Because sometimes they have, maybe it's not arbitration, but okay, I went to my supervisor, I requested a transfer, they refused. I still want the transfer. Sometimes they may outline, okay, this is what you need to do. You know, if you want to submit a second request or ask for a resubmission or whatever it is, like, some of that information may be included. I don't know. Do other folks, do you all have suggestions for how he would advise a black female in this situation trying to get a transfer to a different department? Black supervisor, direct supervisor anyway, black female supervisor who is, I guess, not supportive of the transfer at this point, and racist female, white female there who is causing problems and might, I guess you're speculating, might have some sort of constructive relationship with the black supervisor who might have to sign off on this transfer. Any folks have suggestions they would offer?
May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
I know that I had recently basically spoken about that same thing, about being even turned down, about getting transferred to a different area. The only thing that I have known that other non-white people have done in my same company is to ask, well, if the female has a position in mind, then asking the supervisor what are the qualifications and what would she need. And so I feel like I understand that. Also, I've heard stories about you can even meet all the qualifications and still not be granted that transfer. But I feel like maybe even going that route, I'm still learning, but that's the only thing that I can think of. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what she said initially in terms of the transfer request, like what verbiage was used when it was denied, where the black female supervisor was like, she's not supporting this transfer. But it might be best for her situation, and then for Black people on the whole, it might be best if you want to transfer, if there is a white person there that's causing you problems, or even if it's a non-white person, right? Because we've had that too. It could be a non-white employee that's making it difficult. It might be best, as best you can, to try not to make those transfer requests about some sort of employee strife. Like, try as best you can to make it something other than that. If you can figure out another reason, if it's location or anything else, because that's just the general sense that I get, that they're going to be a lot less willing to cooperate with a Black person who's saying that their reason is that there's some sort of issue with the people in this particular branch.
Okay. Yeah. That you probably are correct about that aspect, because as I mentioned before, she made it emphatically clear to me that this problem employee is well known within, and I find a lot of employees, white employees especially, that are problematic, quote unquote lazy, and don't want to do the work, and so other people have to compensate for her, him. They are experts with being able to manipulate the union that is around them. I mean, that they pay for. And it's been reported to me that that's how she was able to refuse to go anywhere else, but to go back to this particular office. It's some kind of clerk type of room where this workplace, immediate workplace, is at. And it's within Dade County School Police primarily. And so she refused to go somewhere else herself, but stay in the area, although she's creating problems in the area. So, you know, the associate of mine, she really has a tough one there from the standpoint of what. But I think you're right about the idea, Gus, that because I've always told her never verbiage wise or written wise report say that you are complaining, issuing a complaint. Always put it in terms of a report as opposed to a complaint about something or another, that sort of thing. So the complicated thing would be how to, like you said, or how to request the transfer. Yeah. I was even thinking about from the standpoint of drawing in from a medical standpoint on why it's essential that I have to go somewhere else because of the stress factor. But then again, that may cause more problems for you as opposed to solving the problem.
Yeah. I could, like you're saying, this race soldier, this white female, that she seems to be well liked, or it could be the case. It might even be that the Black supervisor and her are have some sort of quote unquote friendship. I've said mm-hmm. consistently, you know, white people, they do network. It's been my experience.
Oh, yeah.
You know, firefighters, you all have conferences and things where you all get together. So wherever she's transferring to, it seems like it would be a high probability that some of the whites at the current fire station probably know at least one or two of the people at the station or stations that she might be looking at transferring to. So if it's presented.
Yeah, you get it mixed up. This is a law enforcement.
Law enforcement. Not fire. Got it. Okay. Law enforcement. Sorry. But even with the same thing. But yeah, law enforcement.
Yeah,
I suspect that they probably know one or two officers at the new station or wherever it is. I suspect that they would know one of these folks and communicate and already be letting them know. I think Princess, she's in Florida too. I think she was having some similar situation about transferring to a new store, and it seemed like maybe the whites in Florida at the different locations were talking to each other about her so they could coordinate their racist attack. I would say that's the sort of thing you got to keep in mind too when you transfer. If you make it a personal thing, like I'm leaving because these folks have got on my nerves or mistreated me or whatever the case may be, you know, one phone call and you're moving from, you know, the frying pan to the fryer, as they say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is the issue. It is an issue. Mm-hmm.
Can I be heard?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
I just wanted to also add to the firefighter's question or commentary. I would probably also advise the female, as she's looking to transfer out internally within the company, to start posting her resume externally as well at the same time. Because if the situation gets terroristic or tacky, even probably even worse than what it is right now, and she can't take it anymore, at least she'll have some feelers that are out there in different areas that she can get another position and not get too tied to getting a transfer within that department. To Gus's point, you know, if they're sending her someplace else and it's even worse there, then it's just a cycle that will continue. So I would definitely start posting out to other positions outside of the company as well.
That's an idea, but the only thing that really complicates that is she is very close to retirement.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. Yeah.
They're going to probably act up big time. I think we've had some black people even call in before. I think we had a black female call in about her dad. He was getting close to retirement, and the whites on the job really started. I shouldn't say cut up, but I mean, they really got terroristic at that point. I think they eventually did. I think from this was like the end of last year. I think she did say that they let her father go right before he hit, you know, retirement, when he would have got, you know, maximum benefits and everything for his years of service. But I'm sure they, it's been my experience, people, you work for some sort of the police or fire department or what have you, part of those jobs is that they tend to have awesome retirement packages. I am sure it seems very conceivable to me that those whites are like, oh no, if this nigga woman here thinks that she's going to leave and get all of these yummy benefits and everything, and she's just going to retire and ride off into the sunset, you have got another thing coming. That sounds like what it could be. We're going to see if we can either drive her out early, or we're going to make her suffer for these last, whatever it is, if she just has, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years left, something small, that we're going to make it, you know, as unpleasant for her as possible. That seems also like it could be a pattern in how they treat older black workers who are getting close to being able to retire and, you know, kiss all that goodbye. Did we miss anybody? Anybody have suggestions for retired firefighter about how he would advise this black female enforcement official? Anybody else have suggestions? No other suggestions for a retired firefighter? Fascinating. You'll have to, I guess, let us know how it evolves, especially after she gets a chance to look to review the policy and procedure to see what it says about transferring. And then to kind of review her original request. And then, you know, if it has something where you can resubmit, or if she wants to reword and try again, that sort of thing, to kind of let us know how it proceeds. Cause that, we have had that pop up before. I'm sure some people would like, what is the successful way to ask for a transfer? Like, that would be a good code to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I need to know whether or not she exhausted all of the aspects of the policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I don't know for sure. So that's why I went straight to the policy of transfer, because one thing about a lot of jobs that they don't leave nothing out when it comes to every aspect of that job, primarily because, you know, it's like you said, certain jobs where it has a decent retirement. They're not going to leave anything out, because white people, for the most part, take advantage of it anyway. You know, for the most part, it's white people who have these particular type of jobs, and they really restrict non-white black people from getting these jobs. So maybe it's something that she haven't yet exhausted.
Hmm. Yeah, if she's been working there, she should have a little bit of seniority, some pull. She's been there that long. There should be one or two people that, you know, she yeah. should have a quality relationship yeah. that could help, you know, help her mitigate things.
Yeah. Yeah, should be. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Keep us.
Thank you. Thank
oh,
you.
For sure. For sure.
I sure will. Sure will.
Workplace racism. Did other folks who dialed in with a hand up, did you have either your own situation or if you had comments, questions on what we've discussed thus far, lines should be open. Proceed.
May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings, Gus. My name is Deer, calling out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Yesterday, I experienced racism on a daily basis. I kind of refined myself on how I engage, but I lost it yesterday. To take you down, here's the scene. I'm working with several white people. It's me and one other non-white black person who works in the area where I work, but it's like 20 white guys. Well, it's one young white guy who always works hard. He does what he needs to do, and some of their other jobs also, because like me, he has children, and he tried to get off for the weekend, because if we don't get what we need to get, we have to work over. So we go on 10-hour days, 8 on Saturday, if we don't get what we need to get accomplished. So this guy, he transfers. He want to transfer. They don't want to let him go because he's probably the best white person that they have back there. So to keep him in that area, they transferred into like a little sub line because he work on like a assembly line. And this one white guy, he gets mad because he don't want to have to do his job because this young white male has been taking up his slack. So he decides he's not going to do anything. So while we're doing all of this, this guy's sitting on a butt scooter for 10 hours on Monday. On Tuesday, he does this same thing again. Wednesday come about, and like I'm knocking all of my stuff out, but I'm having to do stuff, which I always had to do double the work because I'm a black person working with these white people. So, but to this particular day, he want to instruct me on what I need to do because I'm doing it wrong. And when he used to do it, this how he would do it. So, you know, I kind of just overlook all of that, just keep on moving. Because most days I have my headset in, and I just pretend like I don't hear him if I don't have no music or the news or nothing playing. Well, we had some stuff that needed to be fixed down the line, and the people down the line, they come down, and they're like, yo, can somebody come up here and take care of this? They put something on backwards. This white guy takes it upon himself to go down to see what's going on, and he comes back and like, Jerry, you need to go fix that. And all of my codification had just exploded in my head. You know, I had a few choice words. I mean, I said, you mean to tell me that you went down there to tell me you went down there and then you walked back down here to tell me I need to go fix it? You know, I had a few choice words. I was like, man, get out of here with that. And he started to say something back, and I just cursed him out so bad. I got so heated, I wanted to put my hands on him. And why I'm screaming and cussing at him at this point, because I done lost all of my codification, like I stated, He tell me to say one more word. That's what he tells me. Say one more word. So now I'm not only am I cursing at him, but I done called him a few female dogs and told him what he gonna do about it. After that, he just got real quiet, his face blushed up, and he walked off. I walked off too because I was in a rage at that point. I take out for about an hour. When I come back, he tried to apologize to me. And, you know, I stick my hand up, like, real close to just mushing his face, like, move, man. I don't want to hear none of that. You know what I'm saying? You do this all the time, just get out of my face. I was so enraged that it affected me after I got off of work. I had some engagements that I was supposed to take care of, and I did, but I done it because I had a few drinks being so angry. I was still so angry that I missed work today because I didn't want to go in there with this pent-up rage still holding on me. And I'm sure that you probably can hear the frustration in my voice right now as I'm just replaying this in my head. But thank you for listening. I just wanted to vent that out. And I mute myself.
Tennessee, thank you for dialing in, sir. Appreciate it. I think it was stated earlier, it is reasonable to be angry, to get upset about all of this. And as I stated consistently, I think a lot of times racists, they do these things for that purpose, to get us upset, to get us angry. Again, that does have a big impact on our health. Direct a lot of that with the stress and high blood pressure and a lot of the other ailments that we suffer under. Racism, white supremacy is the primary culprit, in my opinion. In those situations, I do try to encourage folks, if you feel like you're upset, a white person, they really just come for whatever reason and they catch a little off guard with something that they say, to try to excuse yourself from the situation. Because just those situations, I know Mr. Fuller was talking about this at the beginning of the year. He felt like that there were going to be a lot more instances of this. Whites trying to get us angry so we lose our cool in the workplace and then they can do whatever. And it's been my experience that on the job, oh man, white people, they have a variety of ways that they can handle those sort of situations. That can be something, we're just going to dock you 2 weeks' pay, or we're going to suspend you 3 days with no pay, or we'll fire you, or whatever we want to do. But we can't have people, you know, coming and cursing at employees in that sort of way and intimidating people. You know, we can all get upset. We got to be professional. They're great at that sort of thing. I think we're talking about that earlier this year. It's really one of the most important, in my opinion, the most important aspect of counter-racism codification, making sure we do not lose our cool, and not just in the workplaces. So, and I mean, you can go back in the archives over the years, so many different situations with black people where some racist came up and just were terrorizing us and just got us at a moment where we just kind of were not focused or just we were lax in our codification, and they allowed us to get upset, and just things went really, really bad. That's something to keep in mind for the workplace. They've even had some situations where that sort of thing happened on the job, and they ended up calling enforcement officials. I think we had a listener who shared a situation like that about this time last year down in Florida, no less, where I think it didn't become a physical altercation. It didn't become something where there were blows or anything like that, but it was just I think, you know, maybe a few profane words and, you know, disagreement. And they called the enforcement officials. And, of course, they asked the black person to leave. So just, in my view, really important to keep that in mind on the job. If you feel yourself getting upset, just exit. Yeah, I think you shared that you ended up leaving anyway. So that's something that I try to encourage. I know sometimes it can be difficult, and sometimes we're human. You get upset. It happens to the best of us, including Gus T. So just as best you can, try to just exit the situation if you already know that you're at a point where you're not going to be able to respond correctly because you're too emotional. Any other suggestions for that situation? Anybody else? Make sure you watch if you have background noise, if you got folks, I guess, on the phone or whatever else, making noise if you dial in with a hand up, because we do pick up all that noise. Other folks who dialed in with a hand up, if you had commentary, things you wanted to share, feel free. Line should be open.
Good evening. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Sorry, I would like to comment and make suggestions, but I just tuned in not too long ago. But several incidents at my workplace. One is dealing with a white male. I work with the military. I'm a veteran myself of the military, no longer in the military now, but I work with the military doing some of the same things that I did while I was in the military. But anyway, there's a guy, he's not my direct supervisor, but when my direct supervisor is not there, he becomes my direct supervisor. But anyway, so we're in a process of, I guess, moving from one place to another. And with this move, I'm doing a lot of things that are not necessarily in my my job description, but I'm helping anyway. And some things I just can't, I can't do. Anyway, so this guy is, he's overly, he's very talkative. He has the appearance of being very friendly, very courteous. He's the one that says, he always speaks, says thank you, you know, dozens of times, even when it's not even warranted. You know, he'll rush to open a door for me, or, you know, other people, or for me. I'm just going to speak about me. Let's say I have a couple things in my hand, and I don't need, you know, assistance, but he's just always there. And again, I'm extra. This guy is constantly just around me. Do you need help? Do you need help? How about let's do this? Let's do that. Let's do this. Do you want to move here in this area, this space, or this space? What about this space? And it's really very unnecessary. Like, you know, I've been in this field for many years, and I suspect that I've been in this field longer than him. But his credentials are a lot higher than mine, but he's just, being, oh, you need help. Do you need help? And I notice he really does it when me and another black male, maybe congregate. And I should be minimizing, congregating with, and just maybe I'll take a break and me and another black male will be speaking about random subjects. But, you know, it's like, I guess the niggers are getting together. Let me see what they're doing. Let me see. And, I suspect that he's doing it for several purposes. I think he's doing it because it's fun to him. I think he's monitoring his, non-white black males that are on the job. He wants to, I believe he wants to irritate me to the point where I'll just be like, hey, would you get away from me and stop? You know, I don't need your help. I don't need your suggestions. And he gives me many suggestions of very basic tasks, like basic things that I've been doing. I can do it in my sleep at this point, that I'm so, efficient at it. And, we'll be talking, and I'll say, no, I'm going to go ahead. I'll state something. I'll say, I'm going to go and do this, you know, just want a particular task. He'll say, yeah. You should go and just do this. Like, he'll just repeat it as if he's the one suggesting, he's directing it, so to speak, or he's the one that came up with the idea, and he's kind of supervising and managing everything. And it's just really annoying. And I had to really hold back because I was starting to get angry, and I wanted to, you know, I wanted sanity, but, you know, I didn't even come close. And then I think maybe my body language and demeanor, towards the end of the day, he was like, okay, Mr. He was referring to me, Mr. Blah, blah. I know you just want to do your, you know, you want to take care of your stuff yourself. You don't, you know, you don't need any help. And I'm like, yes, I'm fine. And, so that's just one thing. And also, what I know is he likes to joke a lot, and he'll say, yeah, I wish we could just go home and still be on the clock and just go take a nap. Or why don't we just, you know, set the place on fire? We don't have to deal with, you know, this and that. And I think he's just trying to gather what, you know, my response would be. And, you know, the other black males, a response would be, are we going to like, yeah, let's blow it. Let's set the place on fire. And, you know, so he can take note. And, but he's doing it under the guise of being, you know, of comedy and trying to being humorous, but I don't find it humorous at all. I don't want to take up too much time, but I have the non-white black male that I talk to. He's in a tragic arrangement, and I just found that out this week. And I kind of felt that he was, but because he, you know, he speaks about racism sometimes, and he talks about, you know, he tells me things about what he thinks about the presidency, just, you know, news is that a lot of people talk about. And, you know, I warned him, there's a young white female that's on the job with us. And, you know, she's constantly wearing a certain, you know, I guess these yoga pants that a lot of females are wearing. And, you know, maybe she's, I don't know. I get the feeling that she is trying to reveal, you know, certain body parts to people. That's the, you know, feeling I get. No offense to any woman that wears yoga pants, but that's, and, you know, he's constantly commenting, man, I think she's not wearing any, you know, underwear under there. I'm like, okay, really, man? And, yeah. And he's like, I think he wants to make some sexual advances, if he has not already done so. And I can feel her, I think she's making advances towards him as well. Or just, you know, teasing him. And I said, and, you know, I just warned him, hey, man, you're looking to get, you're going to get a sexual assault charge, or you might just get a rape charge, man. Be very careful, because she's a very, very, even though she's younger, I want to say about 19, 20, maybe 21, she's a very, very, I guess, mature when it comes to practicing racism. She offered, like, several high fives to me today for some menial task that she didn't complete, and me and the black male kind of completed it. And she was, oh, I didn't, you know, I wasn't able to do it. You guys are great. High five. You know? And I'm looking at her like, high five. And she offered me another high five for some other, you know, something very stupid, to be honest with you. And I denied it. And I think she, you know, I don't want to say something's going to happen because of that, but it was, I don't know, very, very irritating stuff. And that's all I have to share for now. Thank you.
White women are dangerous. Wow. That is, I would stand back on that one. I hope the black male you were talking to heeds your advice, but they are dangerous. And as you said, she sounds like she is extremely mature as it relates to racism, white supremacy. Is this not the same race soldier white female who was talking, debating about how spectacular J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar are? Was this the same white female?
It absolutely is. And wow. I forgot to add, Gus, she earlier this week, she was about to go work out. She's in the military now. And, you know, we have our little physical tests, you know, ever so often throughout the year. And she's about to do it. And she asked me while I'm at the desk, what songs do you like to listen to when you're working out? And, you know, I was being sarcastic. I was like, have you ever tried, you know, Celine Dion? And, you know, she got, you know, kind of, you know, yeah, why are you saying that? Blah, blah, blah. But yeah, just more and more racist acts, basically. But that's her.
The female Bill Maher, dangerous, 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 particularly those ones that try to get black people to not be suspicious, just think, oh, this is a cool little white gal, and this is our little buddy, and she's down. Super dangerous. Keep them way, way distant and, you know, be mindful of them. Some of the other situations that she touched on as well, the white person coming in and I guess when your supervisor is not there, this person gets to be your supervisor, and then they just come and offer all of this useless advice as though they're kind of micromanaging you on a regular basis. We've had a lot of that. That seems to be a very common thing where white people just have to feel that they can boss the Negros around, really anywhere, but particularly in the work setting. And I think for a good number of white people, if they don't have an official like supervisory title or manager's title or what have you, one of the ways that they can get that feeling of superiority is to just go and tell some Negros what to do, even if that's not their job. Like, they still get that feeling, that narcissistic supply, I think Sam Vaknin called it. I think the best thing to do there is just straight ignore, like to give them as little, because that's what they want, the attention to, I mean, just totally ignore them. I think Chantel, I think she also dealt with that. I think she let her direct supervisor know that this was an issue. Now, I think you did say that this person, if your supervisor is not there, they are supposed to be your supervisor. So that's a slight difference. But I have some of our listeners have addressed it specifically with their direct supervisor that, you know, this person over here is coming in and checking in to kind of check to see when I check in or what time I arrive, what time I leave, what projects I'm working on, as though they're managing me. And I was not aware that that was a part of their duties or that I was supposed to report to them. And they, some people had that work out as well. But I think at minimum, just ignore. I have, you know, got things that I'm working on. I don't have time to get into a whole back and forth and dialogue about nothing. Just, you know, you speak, you be courteous, but to not engage with them at all. I found that that works as well also, because when they see that you're not engaging with them, I found a lot of times that they'll just try to find somebody else that they can do that sort of thing. Did other folks have?
Yes.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to add this last tidbit, and it's very significant from the way I'm thinking, but this guy's been in different armed for different branches of the armed forces, and he was a this guy's a trained killer. He's not doing that. He's in a totally different field now, but he was a Marine, and he was, you know, basically he's a trained killer. And I've worked around trained, you know, killers for most of my military career, but he's just so, again, he pretends to be so jovial and very, very polite and courteous, but he's a trained killer. But that's all I have. Thank you.
Sound like you got an office full of them. You said the little white girl J. Cole fan that she's in the armed services too. Sounds like they all are. Other folks that we have not heard from at all, people that have a hand up that we have not heard from, if you have commentary you would like to share, feel free.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Okay, how you doing, Garrison, and all the listeners? This is my first time calling in. I listen all the time, though, so I'm, you know, happy to be able to share something with you guys. I just wanted to add something real quick to what you were just saying. One thing that I noticed also, the suspected white supremacists will also grab like a black person or a non-white person that they may not know is actually qualified for a leadership position, put them in that position just so they can oppress the people under them. Because there may be like, I'll give you an example, like me myself, I've been on a job situation for a number of years, and I like to think I'm very good at what I do. But when it came time for the next level of promotions, I was passed up on, and they chose someone else who was nowhere near as qualified, but someone who they actually personally liked, and they know that he would do exactly what they wanted him to do. So I just wanted to add that to the conversation. But beware of the, I guess you call it, the head people in charge, what they choose to get reactions out of people who may be more qualified. And I mute my line.
I think that is name calling. I had to think about it because someone said HNIC before, and I know what that abbreviated acronyms again. They said HNIC before. We had it explicitly called out. I think that is name calling.
Oh, I should have said quote unquote. I'm sorry.
Right on. That will be in the future. I'll just go ahead and mute that same way that I deal with all of the name calling, but I think that would be, that would qualify as name calling. And my view would still be, that's why I said on the job situation, you are behind enemy territory. And in that situation, I would not look at anybody, white, non-white, as a quote unquote ally. I would just be there about my business and United Independent. I would encourage that you not go in thinking that you got brothers and sisters anyway, just because there might be, you know, three or five people there who have a significant amount of melanin. Other folks that we have not heard from, if you have commentary.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. I had a few observations from the past couple of days. The first was there were two non-white males who came in to pick up paperwork. And I believe one guy could speak English and the other guy, I believe he could only speak Spanish. And when I looked up the name, like the race classification was checked off as white, but the guy had just as much melanin as I did. And I think he had on like a construction shirt or whatnot. And, you know, I found that very interesting that I've been coming across a lot of paperwork like that. And there was a term that I also seen on a paperwork that said the word ruddy, like R-U-D-D-Y. Like, I don't know what that necessarily meant, but that was under the category of complexion. And it said that, and then it said dark. And I believe fair was the other one, and like two or three other words. The next observation was there was, like I mentioned last week, how there was a black male who, I guess, committed a sexual battery or attempted to rape a white woman. And he was put on bond for $1 million. But a couple of months ago, there was a young white male reporter, or he worked for a local TV station, reporter, news station or whatnot. And from the police report that I read, it was very, very graphic, and he engaged in very devious sexual activity, and he forced himself on a non-white female, at least I'm assuming she's non-white, based on the name. But, you know, in the report, it showed, you know, force, but the charge read sexual battery of a person 18 years or older by a person 18 years or older. And then it said after that, no PHY, no physical force. So I was kind of confused by that because the term force is used in the report. And, you know, so I looked at what his bond was, and it was $150,000. And this person actually engaged in, you know, penetration and all of the other things that would constitute as rape on a female. But this black male, he attempted, the term attempted is used, and he is locked down, you know, with a $1 million bond. So just I know people have done a lot of comparisons like that throughout the years. But for, you know, to see it locally like that, it was very astounding to see that. And as far as the white women and other females, non-white females, like I do kind of like have them make certain comments to me. Like one white woman said, you know, she said good looking. So, you know, like it was an older white woman, you know, she was kind of bold. So I was getting on the elevator and that's what she said. So I didn't even really respond. And that's the term she used. And, you know, sometimes I have non-white females engaging in the same type of behavior. And that's all I have for now. And thanks.
Wow. Context of white supremacy. That sort of thing is very common on jobs. And that's the sort of person that's an older white woman who will get away. Like, of course, who's going to reprimand her? You should take it as a compliment that, you know, she had something nice to say about you in the first place. Like, yeah, that's rampant. In my experience, that sort of thing has been rampant in the workplace. Again, white women, where they're able to get away with murder generally. And, you know, it's not a problem, not an issue at all. If other folks have commentary they would like to share, 641-715-3640, the code 564-943. Pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. I thought that was fascinating as well in terms of being able to see the stark contrast in terms of what the bond amount was going to be for black people, white people, and then looking at, you know, what they've been accused of and what have you. Like, it can be really, really explicit in terms of what white power is all about when you get to see those numbers and see that play out consistently across the country, across the world, really. Other folks that we have missed completely, who had a hand up, do you have commentary?
Yes, can I be heard? Oh, go ahead, sir.
Oh, all right, thank you. Greetings, Gus. Greetings to other callers and listeners. I had an interesting story from work that happened yesterday and today. I live in Brooklyn, New York. I actually just got another job in in a warehouse area, assembling things, and there's like males and females in the same area, mostly males, and a good amount of white females. A friend of mine from a neighborhood I used to live at, we had just I guess you could say reunited because he worked at the job. He was a childhood friend I used to box with growing up, and he talks about, you know, he goes along with the white males, talks about sports, does that type of thing. When I'm working, I just try to do my job, not talk to anyone. But an interesting story, like he was getting into a argument with one of the white guys about something with sports, and he said that the white males had threatened him. I think they was being playful, but they had threatened him with, I guess, you know, oh, I'm going to, you know, I can take you outside and do this. And he said, well, you know, no, I got backup. You know, my friend Jarrell, he used to box. And that's the first time I really got a lot of attention at the job. It was a little awkward silence, but I didn't think much of it. The next day, the black male that I'm friends with came up to me, and he said that when I had left, they had said, he asked me, oh, well, do you know what Jimmy the Greek is? And I'm like, yeah, I know who that is. And he told me that the white males were saying, you know, if I'm a good boxer, if I'm a good athlete, they said three words, Jimmy the Greek. And I don't think that I know Jimmy the Greek in the comments he made about breeding and stuff like that. But I think that my friend, he didn't know what that meant. So he was like, oh, well, what does that mean? And I said, you know, I'll talk to you about it later. But I just thought that was a real, you know, a real interesting thing they said. It really blew my mind. But that's all I got.
Wow, that is a great illustration. Thank you for sharing. Great illustration. I think some people are part of their code on the job is they do not talk about sports, like regardless of what is happening, if it's Wimbledon, if it's the U.S. Open, if it's, you know, the NBA Finals, the Super Bowl, the World Series, the biggest, you know, boxing fight in the universe. I don't care what it is. I don't watch. I don't pay attention. I don't watch the Olympics. None of it, because that's where it's going to likely end up, is some more tackiness and just another opportunity for them to practice racism, white supremacy. So to not even begin with those conversations, I guess, for listeners, if you are unfamiliar, Jimmy the Greek, this happened like 30 years ago. Jimmy the Greek was a like well-known white sportscaster. I think he did like gambling, like he would advise people on how to gamble on like football or whatever else. And he was at a bar, white people and alcohol, and he was asked about black athletes and why they're so dominant in particular sports. And basically he said it was slavery, that on the plantation you had all these groomed black people, which, you know, the breeding, the slave coast, that you had all these black people and they were bred, the niggers on the plantation. And so they got all strong and huge and everything. And that's why we have all these, you know, athletes just running wild all over the field. Basically, that was what he said. He got fired after these comments were made. But this line of thinking is in Darwin's Athletes, very, very common for whites. And in my view, it explains why you can have a lot of whites. They can go and watch Serena Williams or Kobe Bryant or Simone Biles, whoever it is. They can go watch these folks for, you know, an hour, 2 hours, and maybe even cheer and not call them nigger. And then as soon as it's over, they just go right back to nigger this, nigger that. Sometimes they don't even wait for the event to end. But yeah, that's great. And that might be the sort of thing. I hope you recorded all of that, because I mean, that's pretty flagrant to have a conversation like that happening in the workplace. And Jimmy, I mean, this is someone who was fired, who lost their job for these comments. So to have that brought up in that context, I would just make note, date, time, and, you know, try to get as much detail as possible to the conversation that you heard. And then this coming back, just to have that on record. The other person, other caller that spoke up simultaneously, did you have commentary you were going to share?
Yeah, I remember that, Gus. I remember Jimmy the Greek. This happened years ago. I think he said the big black slave man bred with the big black slave woman, and you got these good athletes or something like that. I remember he was real drunk, and yeah, they can't stand him. You know, I remember that. What I was going to say is, and I heard some people were saying, and I just want to tell you, some black people, you know, on the line, be very cautious of these white folks that come here and try to act friendly to you. I guess they were talking about the white woman that was talking about what songs you like to hear, and white people being very helpful. I wouldn't trust them. I'd be very suspicious of them. This is how white people like to practice racism. They try to act like they're your best friend and get you off guard. As soon as your back is turned, They practice racism or stab you right in the back. I wouldn't trust them. You know, I would just say, hey, yeah, I would just talk to them, you know, professionally, and just, you know, keep doing my work and say, hey, you know, I got stuff to do, or yeah, or we could talk about that later. Yeah, right. Just keep on going. Keep it moving. And this, I guess what the firefighter was talking about earlier, I transferred a lot of times on my job, so I'm experienced. One thing that I would have told the young lady is you're not going to be safe wherever you transfer, because it's going to be just different white people, but the same old racist game. You know, you can't get away from racism no matter where you go. What I would have told the lady is to be codified, be careful not to be trusting of these white people, and document everything you do. You know, don't let your guard down. Because one thing I think what gets a lot of black people in the workplace is, and I think that white people are really good at this, they are really good at making black people feel very comfortable around them. You know, trying to act like you have your guard down, they got you.
you know, they got you. You know, I've seen it. You know, like I've experienced it. You know, when the white people, you know, they try to, and they always say some term called two-faced. You know, I remember we went to some class. We were talking about it's like a two-headed snake. You know, one face is real friendly, but when you turn your back, a mean face comes on. That's just how white people play. And let's see if I had any more. I think that's all I had. I'll just listen.
Appreciate that. I think the retired firefighter, I think the black female that he was trying to help, I'm sure she appreciates the young lady moniker, but I think he said that she was close to retirement. So I suspect she might be a little bit older if she's getting close to retirement. But well said suggestions nonetheless. We
because, you know,
see, they did it again.
Even when you retire, I would say it's one last thing. I've seen black people retire. They don't let up then. They will still make it hard for you from day one to day zero. I mean, they do not let up. You know, it's like you can't escape it. You cannot escape it.
Absolutely.
All right, go ahead, Gus. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. All the way through, even after retirement, the abuse is still going to be coming. We did mm-hmm. not have Stacy in the UK with us at the beginning, but along the way, we did add Stacy in the UK with us. Did you have commentary you wanted to share, either what's been happening personally or what you've been hearing from folks on this side of the pond?
Hi, guys.
Greetings. Good morning. Friday morning. She's hanging in tough. See if I can do my math quickly. 3 o'clock in the morning. Just turned 3 o'clock in the morning Friday for Stacy.
It's actually
301.
hello to all the other callers. Now, I was just wanting to, well, two things. I think the, just following on from what was being said about that niceness, I remember years ago being at school with my sister and commenting on a teacher who I thought was really nice. And she said to me, no one is ever that nice. You know, that woman made her feel uncomfortable. And obviously we were at school then, and that always stuck in my mind. And a couple of years ago, I remember watching an Oprah Winfrey show, and it was actually on personal safety. Women's personal safety and just, you know, and also I think something around trusting your instincts. And I remember her making the comment about niceness. Niceness is not a trait or a character trait. It's a strategy and people use it to control. And, you know, I thought about it in all the sort of the other circumstances in my life where people have just been overly nice, and sometimes when you don't want them to be nice, it's just, or you know, you just want them to leave you alone, but they're just offering support or, you know, advice that you're not asking for. So I just think it's just worth following on from some of the conversations that have been had, you know, just thinking about it in that context, because we do get taken in by people who appear to be really nice, and that's not really, they usually ask for something. Reveal themselves at some point. And the other comment I wanted to make was just about the person who said they lost their temper at work this week or last week. It's just easy to beat yourself up almost about those situations. I mean, it doesn't sound like there's going to be any comeback from management. And, you know, it's sometimes we just make ourselves feel 10 times worse because we've all done it where, you know, in hindsight, you would have reacted differently in a situation, and you just spend your time just playing that back in your head. And it, as well as what you're dealing with in terms of the racism, you're actually also sort of beating yourself up for making a mistake. It's almost like, okay, you did it. You know, just acknowledge that, okay, it wasn't necessarily the best way to operate, and learn from it. And I think even over the last couple of weeks where things have been happening to me, I just played the statement back that has been made several times on this program by Mr. Neely Fuller, expect racists to be racist. And, you know, that kind of works for me in terms of, okay, someone's just made a silly comment, someone's trying something on. Yeah, that's what they do. And that kind of, you know, helps to control my reaction, if nothing else. I will give an update on my situation, Gus, but I'll come back in a bit. I'll meet my line.
Spectacular. Always great advice for us to be patient with ourselves. Extremely important. Other folks that we have missed completely, other folks, if you have a hand up and we have not heard from you at all, line should be open. Feel free. Hope we get everybody. Thought I saw some other hands. Maybe I was mistaken. If we got everybody, then that is spectacular. Did we didn't miss anybody? Anybody with a hand up that we missed completely? Great. If you are spectating, please do not wait until the last minute. If you think you have a question, commentary, something you would like to add, we have a little less than an hour remaining in the program, so don't wait till the last minute if you think you have something else you would like to share. I think I did ask earlier, do folks have a code for how they would request an increase in compensation? I don't know, maybe we don't have folks who have had to do that or have like their counter-racist technique for how they would request an increase in compensation. I thought that was something that was important as well. I think, Mr. Steele is with us. Mr. Steele, did you have commentary? Don't think we've heard from you. Are you there, Mr. Steele? Not hearing you. Are you with us, Mr.? Yes, sir.
Can I be heard? Awesome. I'm in Malibu, California at the moment, and you know, at my plantation, things kind of I guess came to a head at my particular plantation. I had a meeting with one of my managers, and I asked him a few questions about some of the things that he said on a previous meeting that we had with a client. And these questions frustrated my manager to the point where he called the human resources lady to sit in and mediate. And immediately he tried to accuse me of being aggressive and mean. And he accused me of slamming a door earlier. You know, to which I, you know, repeatedly denied. I said to my human resources director, well, you can look at my manager right now. You can see that his face is red. You can see that his speech is, he's using, you know, profane language, and he's elevating the tone of his voice. He's speaking, very rapidly as well. He's obviously very emotional. And this is how he reacts every single time that I ask questions. She's taking notes. You know, there's just basically a back and forth and everything. And, you know, I, you know, me knowing what that is, you know, I was not going to come into work the next day and allow them to do anything to me. So what I did is I took a day to myself for self-care. I went ahead and went to Melrose, and I got myself a manicure and a pedicure, a hammer and nails, a black-owned business. I met Shannon Sharp. That was cool. And then I also contacted an employment attorney, one of the few that I had been in contact with. And we got right to it and started piecing together all of my documentation. Also, I was very sure to save all of the emails that all the email correspondence that I had with my management and all of these people. So before they could do anything to me, I went ahead and made sure to retain proper representation. We're in the process of filing the proper paperwork. And I suggest to any victims of racism, if you have some sort of instant meeting with the people that they call human resources. I suggest that you understand that the writing is on the wall, so to speak, and they will go ahead and start making their accusations. Do not be baited into any, you know, the whole meeting I had with the HR professional, she was trying to bait me into saying that I did anything wrong. And me, I did not do anything wrong. All I did was ask my manager questions. My performance is not outside of the norms within my division. So all of this is, I suspect this is discriminatory behavior. I've collected a preponderance of evidence to suggest this. They've sent me emails specifying treatment against me that was not administered to any other people in my organization. They have repeatedly disregarded the handbook when I inquired about it. And I have taken my action, and I will see how this all plays out. But the representation that I have selected thanked me for being able to collect all of this evidence, making their job very easy. They said, I asked them, is this something that you guys take seriously? Will I be waiting years and years for a resolution? And they said, read our Yelp page and our Yelp reviews. I read their Yelp reviews. There was several victims that reported positive outcomes with situations when dealing with this particular law firm. And then on top of that, in my research, by the way, I will say this, there were some suspected white supremacist race soldiers that were acting as lawyers in legal representation, and they acted as though proving racism on the job and proving that there was any sort of discriminatory behavior was this huge problem. So I devised a quick litmus test to determine if a potential legal representative is even worth going through any sort of initial intake procedures. One is I asked them, was Trayvon Martin unjustly killed? And was the person who did the killing, was that person a racist? And do you suspect that there may have been extraneous effort to make a person who would normally be convicted of murder acquitted? And then, I just let them talk. And several of these lawyers would try to, use what I call their legal jujitsu to kind of get out of calling George Zimmerman a racist, or get out of calling him a murderer, or get out of. And if you're doing any sort of any of that, you're not going to represent me at all. The person that firm that eventually I retained, they answered the question correctly. Trayvon Martin was killed by a racist, and that was wrong. And that's all I needed to hear. And I will say that the people in this law firm are non-white. They are what people would classify as Hispanic, but I don't disagree with this, because again, every single thing that I had told them, they acted like it was the worst problem in the world. They said that they're going to get to the bottom of this. They didn't ask me for any money up front. And so that is how I'm going ahead and dealing with these racist white supremacists that have been tormenting me, that have raised my blood pressure, and that have caused me to great distress while I'm trying to do my job, and they've refused to help me as well. So they will pay. I will make sure of it.
Wow. Appreciate giving us the update, Mr. Steele. I guess you can let us know how
all of this proceeds in terms of getting some sort of resolution. Definitely having that documentation is extremely important. And that is an extremely routine accusation against black people that somehow we are aggressive, volatile, intimidating, angry. They got a lot of different ways that they can write that up. But that is justification for a pink slip, a tasing, an arrest, sometimes, you know, dozens of shots fired in your direction. But I think that's important to just be able to list specific ways. That's why I stress so frequently. I think it's important just tone of voice, the way that you speak, the words that you use. I say on a consistent basis as well, just have that be known. Your personality in terms of the workplace is about just being serious. You're courteous to people, Mr. This, Mrs. This, yes, ma'am, no, sir. But also, I don't do a whole lot of profanity and what have you. When they say that, you know, this person is angry or is being aggressive in how they say, what are you talking about? You know, every time that I've spoken with the person, you know, he is, you know, courteous. They always say, sir, ma'am. I've never heard him use a foul word in the time that I've known him here on the job. Not even a small one. I've never heard that be an issue. What are you talking about that he's being, you know, aggressive or angry, particularly if it's a black person asking questions. That's been my observation. I think it's great when in the situation that you mentioned, they asked to have the human resource representative come in. I think in some of those situations, it can be great to have a witness, particularly if you're being accused of being aggressive or whatever it is, to just have another witness. I know Mr. Fuller has said that's something that he has used to just ask, and he said he would go get a black person and say, I don't want you to say anything. Don't say anything. Don't do anything. I just need a witness. And that way you can have another observer who can testify, well, I was there, and, you know, if we're talking about Mr. Fuller didn't, you know, seem aggressive to me. I mean, he asked a few questions, took a few notes, said he was still learning about 50 times. But other than that, I don't remember him doing anything aggressive. That can be a good tactic that, you know, can be used as well to have that witness. And that, again, and he said with the black person, he'd make sure to tell him in advance if he was going to ask them to be a witness that don't say anything. I don't want you to say anything because they may be like, hey, you got in trouble with them white folks are trying to get me in trouble too. And he said, no, that's not it. I just want you to observe. That's it. That way you can, you know, just testify to what you saw, what you heard, and that's that, in case there are any, you know, discrepancies about what allegedly took place. Any of the other folks that tuned in, did we miss anybody? Anybody have a hand up that we missed completely?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Gus,
wait a minute. I think we do have some people. I think we do have some people that we missed totally. The caller at 0922, have we heard from you at all? Last four digits, 0922. Are you with us or are you just listening?
Yes. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is Curtis. I wanted to comment. The caller from Tennessee who was talking about losing his codification. I had a similar experience in the past where it's only been one job I've been fired for. I was working in electronic sales where, you know, I'm selling indoor-outdoor security systems, building computers from scratch, wireless, and whatnot. And, you know, I was, say, like a top three salesperson. I was doing really good. And, you know, it was one day I was working, and, you know, you're dealing with customers. It could take 20, 30 minutes to sell a security system. When you get to the point of sale, you log in, you put your password in, and you print a quote. That's how you make your commission. So this day, you know, I deal with a customer, I log in, and I'm locked out. So at that point, it's like you can't hold the customer hostage. You either just give the sale away, call somebody else, hey, print a quote, I'm locked out. So you got to go to the person in charge of the store to reset your password. That's what I did. I let her know what happened. And I, you know, went through the same process, got locked out again. So, you know, I'm the only black person in this department. So, you know, I give another commission away. go to the person in charge, let her know what happened. She resets me, I'm back. It happened again. And at this point, you know, I already told the floor supervisor, hey, something's going on. And the guy just stood there. He didn't investigate or nothing. So this is before, you know, I had any kind of codification at all. You know, at this point, it was three or four times it happened, I lost it. So I went to the podium. I start locking random people in my department out, you know, to retaliate. And, you know, I start cursing, flipped the book off the podium. You know, I lost it. And what's funny is, you know, the supervisor, he felt like he was wrong. Then there was a white, another supervisor who wasn't there. You know, he kind of told her what happened, and it was her who took it to the assistant store manager and made a report about me. So the next day I went to work, I got suspended, and eventually, you know, 5-day suspension, eventually pending review of my employment, I got terminated over that situation. And I suspect the person that did it was a white / Asian guy. I still to this day don't know who did it, but, you know, I just want to give an example of how not having a code at the job and losing your cool, like, you know, the guy in Tennessee, can lead to you being unemployed. So, and when I got terminated, you know, the exit papers, you know, they put what I did, and I just put my statement, hey, some wrong things were happening to me, and, you know, nobody did anything to help. So the only bright side is I got approved for unemployment for the time being, but I just wanted to share that.
Wow. That did you say this happened? This was like previously when you were more confused about racism, white supremacy, or more? Is this a more recent thing?
Oh yeah, this happened years ago. So.
Oh okay, that's what I thought.
You know, I wasn't confused about racism, but I didn't have any kind of, you know, codification on the job, which is why, you know, I lost it. You know, I've been in worse situations, but, you know, if I could go back and change anything, you know, I wouldn't curse at all, you know. I would just keep asking questions. Hey, you know, I'm doing my job. You know, I just spent 20, 30 minutes selling this customer this product. I just lost, $35 commission, whatever. You know, what can be done? You know, it's happening four times. You know, I've reported it. No one's helping me. What can I do?
Again, just repeating Mr. Fuller, he stated at the beginning of the year pretty emphatically, and when I spoke with him again some months after that, because this was in January when he first said it, he said that's what he keeps hearing in terms of people calling him to get suggestions on how to deal with and how to manage and what have you. But he just said it seems like it's just more and more of that. These works, and I've even seen that people have written me as well in these work situations where they are just either saying racist things, nigger jokes, just things to get you upset, saying racist things to deliberately provoke a black person to respond in an angry or emotional manner. So they can say, oh, you flying off the handle, and we just can't have that sort of kind. Exactly what, you know, Curtis just said, that it just seems like it's more of it. And I mean, I understand you're human. It's human to get upset when somebody does something that you should be angry about. And racists do that sort of thing on an hourly basis. But just saying for workplace context, you do not want to have that sort of thing happen. Racists, I mean, it's they're going to have a variety of different ways that they can deal with you effectively. If you should lose your cool in a workplace situation, that it's not going to work out well for you. Just as best you can, like I said, if you need to leave, leave. But as best you can, try not to lose your cool in the workplace environment. The male caller who spoke up simultaneously, I think you had already spoken before, but you just had some comments you wanted to add. Are you still with us, sir? Go ahead.
Yes, I'm still here. I just wanted to add some comments in reference to Mr. Steele's situation, just probably provide some advice. I had actually gone through the same thing about 3 years ago where I had to take legal action. One of the suggestions that I would add is in any conversation that, and he sounds like he's already there, but I was told by the attorney that I hired, I did not reference the words racism, discrimination, directly in conversation with the directors, VPs, and HR professionals that I dealt with in conversation enough. So although we were able to get some wins at the end, what was referenced was any dialogue that you're having, if you feel that that is happening to you, make sure that in conversations with human resources or any email, any information that you're sending out to individuals that is written, to make sure that you are displaying those words in clear detail as to how it's applying to the situation, just like they referenced in his meeting that he was aggressive and things of that nature, to reference that that is an act of racism or he's feeling discriminated against for that, so that when it does go to trial or if it does kind of go into a place where there's going to be some kind of mediation, that those words will be plainly in sight and it's not up for maybe that's what was happening, that he is basically referencing that from the beginning so that it's clear out in the open. I just wanted to mention that. Hopefully that helps out a little bit.
Wow. I had some distortion in my line. I think it's cleared, or I don't hear it now, but it was just very strange while we were getting the commentary from the last caller. But hopefully it's corrected now and moving forward. Did other folks have commentary that they wanted to make sure they were able to share before we conclude about the last 30 minutes in the broadcast? Either other questions, commentary, still didn't, no code of on asking for increased compensation. Nobody has code on that. I reckon not. Other commentary, I'm adding Stacy from the UK back with us presently because I know she had her own situation. Any other commentary folks wanted to make sure they shared?
Hey, Gus, may I be heard again?
Yes,
sir. Hey, what's up? Yeah, this is Gerard from Brooklyn again. I got a quick little update. I think Mr. Steele was talking, I got a text from my friend at the job that I was talking about. I guess he found out who Jimmy the Greek was, and now him and the white man who said it, he texted him, said he didn't appreciate that, and I guess he texted him back, you know, oh, you know, that's how we joke. I got a screenshot of it. He said, oh, that's how we joke. And if you don't like it, we can handle it outside a different way. You know, you and your tough friend. So he just sent me the screenshot of that. So I kind of have a question. Like, I'm not sure. It's funny to me because I've been really minding my business, but I'm not really sure what to do. I have a feeling like these white males at this job, they just want a confrontation. And I'm not really trying to take it there, but I don't know. It's crazy.
Can I be heard?
I would save a screenshot of that. Like, to me, that, like,
no,
wow.
I
can't even.
I
can't even believe someone would text something like that. Like, that if you don't like what we said, this is how we joke around. And if you don't like it, then we can deal with it. I was like, what? That sounds like a straight veiled threat. I think most reasonable people would say that that sounds like some sort of a challenge to a confrontation or a threat of some sort. I would take that very seriously. Like, I don't know
I'm sorry, not to cut you off, but that's what he said. Like, oh, we could deal with it outside of work. You know, you and your tough little friend. So it's like,
that's
amazing.
I would take that very seriously. And even going back when you were talking about your situation from earlier, I know this didn't start with you. I guess your friend saying that he had backup and pulling you into the situation. You used to box. Like, man, to the degree that you can try to make sure that it's known that you are all about united, independent on the job, so that people are not pulling you into other situations in a kind of reckless, uncodified manner, and just making potential problems for you. But man, now that it, you know, has got started and they put your name in it and all this other stuff, just wow, I would take that very seriously. And I would have to consider like showing that to a supervisor or management, because I mean, that, in my view, that is way out of control. I mean, if we got text messages after hours, while we're at home and in things that are sounding like some sort of threat or Fight Club challenge, like, whoa. I do not play with white people. I never know when a situation where some white person could see this and decide that they're upset and they need to bring, you know, some sort of firearm or what have you to work. I would take all that very seriously. And I would probably have to go in and show someone that and just be like, this seems like it is spiraling way out of control. If there's something can be done to mitigate all this.
I totally agree with you. I kind of feel like maybe I was off code a little bit because I know, like Mr. Fuller said, we should limit contact. But I guess the dude was from my neighborhood from back in the day, so I was, you know what I mean? I was cool with him. But, yeah, now I just feel like I'm just dragged into a situation that it's just like I'm not trying to get into no confrontations. But, yeah, it's amazing. Like, but I definitely I got the text messages. He sent them to me. I screenshotted them. So, but it's just like, yeah, wow.
Does anybody have any thoughts on how they would proceed with this ever evolving situation now with these texts that have come in? Any suggestions on how they would try and diffuse all of this safely?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would immediately take that to the police, file a police report right now. That is nothing to be taken lightly. Even if the police themselves try to minimize the importance of this text, you need to get documentation from law enforcement. Any threats that you get that are, you know, that you can document and you can convey, report it. I mean, like, even if you're not going to act on it immediately, you need a documented record of people making threats against you or that this person has been making threats. And then immediately, if this is a person from the workplace, I would suggest police report and then start talking to employment attorneys and think about escalating this with them at your workplace, because again, this cannot be taken lightly. And on top of that, you know, they just expose themselves. The workplace that you're at, that if they have this person there. And if, you know, you can prove that, you know, there's more than one person that's with them, I mean, you can, there's a lot that can be done. So I would definitely explore employment attorneys, and I would definitely get a police report. They would do a police report on you. I'm just saying that. They would do a report on you immediately. So do the same to them.
Did folks have any other suggestions? Thanks, Mr. Steele. Did folks have any other suggestions for how they would deal with this situation, workplace situation, with the text now added on to it this evening?
Okay.
No other suggestions on that?
Gus, can you?
Right.
Gus?
Oh, did I hear someone?
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, sorry. I'm going to hit
that. Oh,
can you?
Go ahead.
Sorry, Gus, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so it's a bit weird. You're cutting in and out. Just to follow on, I would just say, make
what to do, man. Oh yeah. Oh, are you? I was hearing you, and then I was not hearing you, Stacy. Are you?
I heard a tone.
That is the wackiest thing ever. I was having clarity, and then for some reason there was a lot of distortion. I was hearing Stacy, and then I wasn't hearing her. Now I don't hear anything at all. Now it sounds crystal clear. little odd as we get close to ending. I'll see if we can nab Stacey back, Stacey in the UK, because I know she did have her own personal situation she wanted to discuss as well. I guess a quick note I would get in before I double check with Stacey. My quick note would be, in general, I'm not a proponent of late text messages, meaning after hours. If it's another coworker and they send you a text or what have you, unless, you know, this is a black person and, you know, we have some sort of rapport or what have you, I'm not a fan of that at all. We can talk about this on hours. Once it's my time, whether I'm doing something constructive or just twiddling my thumbs and watching, you know, Shonda Rhimes, that's my Thursday. This is my evening. I'm not, you know, trying to have any sort of conversation or dialogue on my time. We can address this tomorrow. Just general rule I would try and abide by. I guess we'll see. Stacey, are you back with us?
Yes, yeah, so I guess I couldn't hear you a bit.
Okay. Yeah, I was having... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, in terms of the threatening text message, I would report it to the police as well, and to senior management. But because these organisations can be a bit tricky, I would do the police report first and make them aware that you've reported it to the police, then raise it with management. But I would take it seriously. These people sound a little bit like, you know, they're out of control. I do have an update, but let me know when you want me to give that, and I'll meet my line.
The audio is breaking up quite a bit. I was not really, I did hear the police part, but I was not really able to hear clearly your suggestion about the report. Do you want to try one more time, Stacey?
Yeah, all I was going to say is, can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say I would do the police report, then raise it with management and make them aware that the police report has been made so that they take it seriously. Is that clear? Can you hear me?
Got it. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, so that was all I was saying, just so that your organization or the company actually takes it seriously. Because otherwise, you know, they could turn that situation around. But if you actually do say you're taking it seriously, this is a threat against your life or whatever, and then make management aware that police report has been made. I do have an update, Gus, but let me know when you want me to make that.
All right. You should probably do it now because we only have about 20 minutes left in the broadcast.
Okay. I wasn't actually going to give an update because I was waiting for a few things to happen. But this week, last week, we had a project team meeting. And as callers may recall, I had a member of staff, a little race soldier, make an accusation that I'd been shouting at him, et cetera, et cetera. And I'd asked him to formalise a complaint, and he decided he wasn't. And you mentioned it earlier in the show, actually, that, you know, they tried to turn the situation around between me and black female. Anyway, so I do intend to make my, I don't want to call it a grievance, but I do want to take it up with HR. So I'm working with my union on that, and I will be dealing with that in a couple of weeks. So I wasn't planning to give an update until that happened. But last week he was away. We had a project team meeting, and various bits of work got allocated to another member of staff who's junior to him. She's an apprentice. And this week we had another project meeting, and we were discussing that piece of work that had been given to her. And everything seemed straightforward. He was obviously in the meeting this week, but because of the situation, I'm not asking him to do anything. And my manager was also in that meeting as well. So later on this week, I did have same day actually, I had a one-to-one meeting with her. And again, she brought up this little race soldier and the fact that, you know, I need to meet with his manager to talk about his work program? And is there anything that we can do to, you know, make sure that he is being, that she didn't use the word developed, essentially, you know, things that he can do that, you know, perhaps build on his experience, et cetera, et cetera. And then she made reference to this particular piece of work that had been allocated to the female, who's a black member of staff as well. And she said, you know, maybe he can get involved in that. And I said, well, and obviously there was some kind of discussion between them. And another little accusation that was being made that wasn't explicitly made, but I got the message. So I said, well, perhaps he was, perhaps we didn't discuss him being involved in that, because that work was allocated to her last week when he wasn't in the office. And she was like, oh, yes. Okay. And she was actually in that meeting, so I don't understand why she was making it an issue. Anyway, so this week we have an event. It's a two-day event. It was yesterday and today, or Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. And he was allocated to go on Thursday morning. It's basically a public event with lots of businesses, and we're trying to get them signed up to a project that we're involved with. And I'd allocated two other members of staff to attend for the first day. And the way I did it is because of staff work on different projects, including him, and also we needed to have cover in the office. So Wednesday, I noticed he wasn't in the office, so I asked his line manager where he was. She said, oh, he's at the event. I said, why is he there? She said, oh, he's gone to help out, blah, 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 blah. And my line manager then turned around and said, oh, yes, he came to me and asked if he could go to help out with the junior member of staff that had been allocated on that day. I said, well, why did he do that? I've already assigned which days that they should be at the event. And she said, oh, well, it's just that he felt that she might need a bit of extra support because she'll be on her own. So I said, no, she won't. She'll be with another member of staff who's a bit more senior to her. So why did he go? And she said, oh, he came to me and asked me, oh, I am sorry. I should have asked you. I said, okay. And that was it. So essentially, regardless of everything that goes on, he's doing exactly what he's been doing. I ask him to do something, he goes to a manager and basically makes some kind of complaint or request to do something else, and basically supersedes my authority on the project, and she's allowing it. So all I'm doing now is noting this down, because it's more evidence of his behavior, even though he's obviously playing the victim, and management are clearly supporting his bad behavior. And I will mute my language.
Wow. Context of white supremacy. Two things, at least, I think are important with that. Number one, this is why I said before, in a related context, when you go on the job, you know, let's make sure we have correct thinking about the situation. This is not my office. This is not my desk. This is not my chair. This is not my job, even. They can come and decide, you know, they're taking all of this back and throwing me out in the next 5 minutes. I think that's important, because I think sometimes, and I think a caller mentioned it earlier, whites can get us to be very comfortable on these jobs and thinking we're in charge and, you know, we got a great salary, or we got a big, nice desk, or whatever it is. We got a nice title and we get to tell some people what to do, and we, you know, get comfortable and don't think we're under racism, white supremacy. And then a lot of times, exactly what Stacey just laid out, this happens to tons of black people. They, you know, are supposed to be, quote unquote, in charge of white people, supervising white people, and then those white people say, I don't care what that nigga says, I'm going to do what I want, and they proceed to do just that, and the black people end up either feeling frustrated, confused, angry, lots of things. And that's why I say, when you understand racism, white supremacy, got it. I understand these white people that I am supervising, they are still white, and that's in some respects, all you need to know. The second thing, in terms of the undermining, where I've laid out this is what it's supposed to be, and he just said, I'm going to do whatever I want to, and I go talk to other white people, and they will aid and abet in undermining this black person's authority. These are standard things that happen on the job. I think one of the best things we can do is just make sure that we understand the dynamics of how and why that happens, so that we're not surprised about it. We don't feel bad about it. We don't feel like, oh man, you know, this is my dominion, this is my authority, and they're cutting me up. This is the system of racism, white supremacy, and these things are supposed to happen. In fact, they're probably, everybody that works here is probably disgruntled that I have this job while I'm going through all this strife to begin with. He's probably training right now to see if he can get my job or something higher than that. But that, I mean, just understanding that that's what we're dealing with in the system. And even in terms of resources, because it sounds like if you had already allocated people that were supposed to be at this event, and then he just gets to go behind your back and do what he wants to and go, it sounds like you all could be wasting resources and duplicating staff. I've seen white people do that all the time, too. Like, they don't care. We can waste resources when they come and talk about being efficient and streamlined. Racism, white supremacy supersedes all of that. We have additional commentary folks want to share. We have about 15 minutes left in the broadcast. Any additional commentary, questions folks want to get in?
That'd be all right.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So I was going to say about the gig that I had done, the musical gig, and the white female who has been getting, she got a black male fired and got me quit, but basically kind of got fired. I was going to say the first rehearsal that I did with them, she actually laid out in front of the piano, like in a sexual manner. And then later she told my girlfriend that she was jealous of my girlfriend. I mean, she was jealous of that we were in a relationship, like she wanted to be in a relationship with me, this white female. And she has two black children, or, you know, unfortunately. But I just wanted to point that out. Just, you know, first it was the sexual advances, and then first she was making sexual advances to me, and then she later said that I'm making sexual advances to other random women, you know, to my girlfriend, telling my girlfriend this sort of thing to break us up or whatever. I just wanted to point that out because I thought that was interesting. But I was telling my girlfriend, absolutely, I'm not interested in this white creature. I would never mix my blood with something hideous, as hideous as a white person. That DNA doesn't belong in our bloodstream. It doesn't belong on this planet. And then the other thing I was just going to say is in terms of, I guess, like losing your cool at work, and maybe doing something you shouldn't do. Well, I was doing something I shouldn't do a couple years ago. I had another gig with some random church, white church, and I was joking with one of the white males, older white males. I was saying I was asking him if he noticed that I can't find any blonde-haired, blue-eyed people. You know, I just haven't been able to find them lately. And I was wondering, asking him if he had noticed the same thing. But, you know, I was being facetious. But absolutely, I was trying to, you know, play on the psyche. You know, commit suicide. You know, do whatever you need to do. Get off this planet. But maybe that's the wrong thing to do. Maybe not. But I did like Mr. Steele. I had a joke. I listened to one of his stand-up bits. I thought it was really hilarious when he made a comment about their white people's inability to reproduce and also their inevitable extinction. That's all. Thank you.
Folks are hoot. That I was thinking about that with the white female that you mentioned who has been terrorizing the whole, band that you were a part of. That might be something to think about in the future. I don't know if we have other musicians, but would you even be willing to join a band with a white member? That might be something to think about in terms of context of workplace racism. And then all of the different antics that have been used to disrupt and get various black people either fired or get them to voluntarily quit, what have you, that sounds like standard operating procedure of what whites do, come in, take over, and then remove any of the folks that they, any of the victims that they want, so they can strengthen their control on the victims that are remaining. Last, I guess, 10 minutes or so, did folks have any additional comments here they need to get in, last 10 minutes?
Gus, can I ask a question?
For sure.
We won't be able to go for it now, but I'm just interested, maybe for another program, if people work in any organizations that have got staff networks, and specifically networks of black staff. And the reason I ask is because the organization that I work for has been talking about, or one group director has been talking about establishing a network for black staff. So there are other networks. There's a women's network. I think there's an LGBTQT network. Years ago, there was a black network, and it was disbanded when new management came in. I don't need to explain why. But we've had a recent change in management, and there's been a discussion on it. And it's just interesting to see the dynamics and of how this network is being talked about, and all the concerns being raised about whether or not there should be a black staff network. So I'm just interested in other organizations or you know, people's examples of any similar networks in their organization. And I've been asked to get involved in organizing it, which is in part why I'm asking the question. I'll mute my line, guess.
Now that is interesting. I don't know that those sort of things. Now, I'm not saying not to do it or that they're not worthwhile or constructive. I've just seen where a lot of times where white people, they can, with those sort of collectives, where they just end up disrupting them or making them a lot less effective than they could be. And they also end up wasting a lot of the black people's time that are trying to make it something of value, to make it, you know, be effective. And this is what we organize for, and to help black people in these particular fields. But yeah, that's one I would have to put an asterisk on and think about. Is this really going to be something that's going to be able to help black people in these positions, or are white people just going to be messing over us and wasting our time and resources? I would have to ponder, see if folks have either experience or thoughts on that as we're winding out. If we don't have enough time this week, we can just bring it up again next week, and folks can share. At least initially, folks have any thoughts on that, having kind of a black staffing collective, and what the purpose of this being, Stacey, the purpose of this is supposed to be?
Well, that's to be determined. So there's an initial meeting being planned with the group director, and there's been all kinds of shenanigans as to who should be at this initial meeting, even to discuss the terms of reference and benefits of this staff network, and who gets selected. And so some of the names that have been put forward are people who probably wouldn't ask any really major questions, because allegedly the people putting the names forward don't want to make the group director feel uncomfortable and walk away from the idea initially. And so my name is one of the names that have been in and out of that list, or on and off of that list. And it's just been contentious even trying to organise a meeting. But I'm, my whole reason for asking the question is because about whether or not it's even going to be constructive. The Human Resource Department offered to organize it, and they've been specifically told, no, we don't need you to do that, because they wanted to identify someone who could lead it for their own purposes, obviously, to get somebody who they can control. So the whole thing in itself is highly contentious. That's partly why, you know, I'm thinking, is this even worth my time, my energy? I'm erring towards that this is not going to be constructive. And that's why I'm interested in other people's experiences. I'll mute my line, guys.
Hmm. maybe folks, when they get to hear the archive, they'll hear and we'll be able to respond next week, or either the compensatory call-in is the time winds down for this issue. This is one I would have to think about in the employment, particularly over there. Like, I feel like with you all, I'm surprised it's not the BME staff initiative or something. I'm surprised it's even as direct as that, to just be the Black Staffing Collective or what have you. Like, yeah, I would have to think about whether this is.
Sorry, I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say there have been discussions about what the network should be. I mean, it's just that contentious. Mm. Whether it's Black or BME.
That's what I thought. Black minority ethnic for people. That's their preferred term over in the UK. Black minority ethnic. Yeah, I don't. Just that alone, like what you're saying, like even just to get the initial meeting set up and everything, like I could easily see it being contentious like this for the duration of the existence of this collective or agency or whatever it's supposed to be, and all of that not having any sort of satisfactory benefit for the Black people that all of this is supposed to be designed to help to begin with. But I could be, you know, in error.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
I personally know of a few staffing firms that are directed towards staffing minority talent, or what they call minority talent. I'm aware of, the name of this organization escapes me, but it's a private company that was founded by two young people who were victims of racism, and they are exclusively devoted to getting Black Black STEM talent into these various tech firms. And I would seriously consider, if you were going to start a staffing agency or a staffing firm, I would look up how to start a staffing firm on Google and read and do as much research on just starting a staffing firm as you can. And then apply those lessons to starting your own private institution, your own private LLC, your own private, however you want to organize the, I don't know the different licenses in the UK, but study your jurisdiction, start your own company, and you can definitely have it directed towards that. There's a number of different firms that already do this, and it's a good space, especially if you can go ahead and sell your services correctly. You're just offering a different niche of talent, and I would explore it from that direction. That way you can avoid all of the bickering and the back and forth about what to name it and, you know, who's in control of it and whatever and what have you. If you have that goal in mind, I would do it the United Independent way, do my research, and then I would start my own firm with that purpose in mind. Thank you.
Hi, Gus. Can I come back on that?
Appreciate that. Mr. Steele, that pretty much is our 3 hours for this week. I did want to get in because I think I'm going to play it on the compensatory call-in, but there were different news reports about Dr. Tommy Curry, been on the program many times over the years. He was the victim of, like, a lot of mailed threats. They threatened to lynch him and all this other stuff as a result of they found – like an interview that he did talking about Django Unchained, so this is like 5 years ago, and got really upset and did all of this. And the university, he's at Texas A&M University, and he was talking about the universe, how they have responded to his commentary and him being threatened and what have you. But that's workplace racism as well. We had a listener who saw that. I posted the link to these incidents, as did some other listeners on my page and the Facebook page, Cal's group page. And we had a listener who asked, what's the procedure for if someone like Dr. Curry is threatened? And I would say it's United Independent, Black people, Dr. Curry, or whomever else are being threatened all the time, every day, threatened and actually abused, terrorized, mistreated all the time, every day. No, directly, indirectly. So United Independent, if you decide, hey, you're not going to talk to Dr. Curry that way without having to deal with me, United Independent, fine. If you need to get down to Texas, do what you got to do. But I would say under the system of racism, white supremacy, I mean, all of us are being abused, mistreated all the time, perpetually, every second. That is the system of racism, white supremacy. You just go about the business of trying to solve the problem. These are just, specific incidents that are a part of the greater terrorist attack that we are all facing every day. With that, we'll be here tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Coretta Scott King's autobiography, session number 8, My Life, My Love, My Legacy. We'll be here on Saturday, compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and the global Sunday talk on racism. Stacey might be back with us again. We'll be early. It'll be 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, 12 noon Pacific this coming Sunday. Pam was supposed to be with us on this past Wednesday. We had to reschedule before, but she contacted me a little bit earlier this time and said that she knew she did have an appointment coming up Wednesday afternoon. She thought she was going to be done on time, but she was a little bit nervous, thinking that she might be running late and then she would not be back at her residence in time for the program. And she did not want us to be upset for standing us up 2 weeks in a row. So she decided to err on the side of caution to just request if we could bump it back one more week, and she will keep her calendar clear for next Wednesday. But that'll be the 24th. She should be here. Apologies to folks who were excited and missed out 2 weeks in a row on hearing from Pam. Hopefully, third time will be the charm. We'll get that done next Wednesday. With that, thanks, everyone, for tuning in. I hope it was a constructive investment of your time and energy. Drop us an email if you have workplace racism experiences. We can share them online. With that, sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. I think we heard a couple of different incidents where alcohol was involved and it did not help the non-white person come out better in that situation. So I would strongly recommend if you're going to be out and about enjoying the summertime, it's almost June, great, have fun. Stay sober. You do not want to be behind a vehicle or stopped by a white person, period, badge or no, and have that be the moment that you are intoxicated and not able to respond to keep yourself safe. Anybody else that you might be responsible for is too much evidence where black people being under the influence have not been able to respond adequately to solve the problem of racism, white supremacy. I think Dr. Welsing and many others, Dr. Kanban, black people that we say we admire and have tremendous regard for the work that they've done, I think many of them would strongly encourage, let's stay sober and see if we can solve this problem, put white folks out of business. With that, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Even my conditioning has been conditioned.